Welcome to episode 85 of the Iron Agenda, the podcast about War Machine, boards, and whatever else is on our minds. Hey everybody, and welcome to the Iron Agenda, the podcast that's now a part of the Executioner Interdiction, the Public Relations Department of the Protectorate. I'm Josh.
I'm Dave.
I'm Jason.
I'm Tim.
And I'm John.
We have Menoth John with us here today.
Yay.
What happened to the serial part of your name?
I got rid of Serial John, actually. It used to be my wife's email was Serial Wife, and spelled Serial because I work for Maltomeal, and I'm kind of the serial equivalent of a brewmeister.
Okay.
Yeah, I know, it's kind of a goofy way of describing it, but it's a killer job because I just like, I go to work and teach people how to make cereal better and more efficiently. It works for me.
Do you find that adding marshmallows makes it a better cereal?
The bumper of a car is better with marshmallows.
This is true. I asked a stupid question.
Yeah, and so that's what I do. And it used to be that my wife, just for grins and giggles, was Serial Wife, and then she got sick of that. And so I decided that since I primarily play Protectorate, I would just go ahead and grab Menoth John.
Did you make her Menoth Wife?
She's referred to as Menoth Michelle on many an email and things like that, but she has very little to do with any of this pewter addiction that I have, although she's a wonderful lady and supports my, you know, OCD related to it.
Sounds like most of our wives.
Yeah.
I'm seeing a trend.
Yeah, she's really good about it, considering I've got six factions now.
I have a whole one, two, maybe, I guess.
You got two.
Yeah, I do.
I have five.
You have five. All right.
I've owned eight.
I've got eight. More. I got more issues than National Geographic when it comes to this game.
That's all right. They're in good company.
Well, speaking of which, should we talk about the game? Or do you want to do the required... So, John, who the hell are you and why the hell should we be talking to you?
Oh, yeah, we should probably do that first.
Well, my name's John Christensen, or Menoth John on the forums.
What's your social security number?
Are you from Nigeria? Are you trying to get me to deposit to a bank?
How did you know?
I actually got one of those emails the other day. It was quite humorous.
Have you ever been to 413.com or... whatever the name of the scam is, there's a site dedicated to it where people like reverse scamming those guys, like taking up their time by sending them bogus emails and trying to string them along. It's really funny. It's like eating 413 eater or something like that.
That's very funny. I have not been to that, but that sounds great. I've been playing the game for about 2 years, coming up on 2 years this fall. And clearly that puts me as probably the most junior person at the table today. And I'll have to ask the listeners for a little bit of slack. I'm not an expert, but I sure do enjoy my Menoth. I started out with a blog that I started up called Getting Small. And I think that's, Dave, where you kind of discovered me a little bit. And that's where Gadebloke from Lost Hemisphere discovered me. And Dave and I started kicking around the idea of the Iron Agenda blogging network. And just as that went live, I had some stress in my life, and I ended up closing down, Getting Small. But G'day was good enough to give me an opportunity to come in and be a guest writer for Lost Hemisphere. And I've been doing that for just about a year now. Cool. So that's who I am and why I'm here, and I appreciate the opportunity to come on Iron Agenda and do what I can to relate what I think about my favorite faction.
Well, we're glad to have you on, and I'll just say this. I think if the internets have taught us nothing, it's that you don't have to play long to have an opinion.
That's definitely true.
They're kind of like a-holes, aren't they?
Everybody's got one.
Yeah, buddy.
And they all stink.
And they all stink.
Get it? You guys all knew it.
Very good, Jason.
All right, so where are we going to start?
The first thing on my list was the new Morton Ever spoiled tier list, but I can't find them.
Have you tried the forums?
I was looking on the same.
Have you tried Bell Lost Souls? Isn't that where it came from?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure
it came from Tabletop Gaming News.
Or Tabletop Gaming.
But it should be right here in front of me. I don't know where it is.
I'm using
not sure. Eyes, but yeah. I can talk about it because I read it. How about it?
I like them. It's pretty simple, but it's still kind of cool.
Lots of scrap thralls.
How about the complaint online that the tiered bonuses are too unfair because they make stalkers too cheap?
They don't make stalkers any cheaper because they're not heavies.
I know.
Because people don't know what the hell they're talking about.
That's hysterical.
Doesn't it make the Death Jack cheaper because it's a Hell Jack, right?
It does make it 1 point cheaper, and that's the only character she can't take. And she will be taking it, most likely.
Oh yeah,
you have to.
Why would you not? I think Morton Abra is incredibly competitive already, and she has a very simple build. there's really cool things you can do. But I think we've said it before, Crix is going to be probably less affected by the tier list due to the fact that they don't really bring a lot of mercenaries in the first place. You don't have to worry about not bringing Iris or not bringing a Piper like I hear a lot of people talk about in Menoth.
Less in Mark II, but still, yeah, stuff like that.
I mean, it's just not important to them, especially Mortneighbor, who brings Jax. I mean, there's no mercenary who helps faction Jax. So you're really not too worried. I mean, Gorman is the only person I can think of for cloud cover, but now with the weakness of cloud cover, I think that she's, you know, good to go without any mercenaries at all.
I think Crix in general, at least in my experience, is a little more forgiving just by taking whatever you want. You know, there isn't necessarily a lot of interaction between the models in terms of support. Occasionally you get that, but I think you taking whatever you want can oftentimes lead to a good list.
Well, it seems like her tiered list is stuff you'd already taken her list anyway.
Heavy Jax and some support solos.
So giving it bonuses for taking stuff you're already playing is great.
Well, yeah, right. But the thing is, you don't get units, so you don't get that tar pit. That's the biggest drawback of it.
Not in the upper two.
If you want to reduce your points by one, but you can still have a full stealth army and you can get scrap thralls with AD.
Mm-hmm. I was able to find the tiered list if you guys are interested.
I've got it in front of me.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's really funny because I read the tiered list, and other than the solos, of course I'd bring a Necrotech before when I was playing Crix, but the units was really funny because my favorite Mortneighbor list included Mechanthralls and Biothralls, and that's totally what you get. Mm-hmm. And it made me really happy. I was like, sweet, you can totally play a tier list and get a couple bonuses just for playing the list I would already play. And the Warwitch Sirens being in there is pretty strong. Power boosting is huge for that. And wow. Because
she needs more focus.
Right. I love the Soul Hunters in there. Run them up field first turn or two to block your opponent.
Yeah, you can have Soul Hunters, but you can't field them to reach tier four.
Well, no.
Sure,
no,
but I mean, you can still have, you know, Stealth Jacks and Advanced mm-hmm. Voice Craft Thralls.
I think there's enough versatility in the tiers where you shouldn't feel bad about going to any tier.
Yep. But I think that tier four for her is incredibly easy. I mean, with the Stalker being, or with the Slayer being 6 points down mm-hmm. to five,
that's stupid good.
You just toss one in there. And you want a meat shield. I mean, the Stalker or the Slayer, once again, you can just toss him out there. He's got boxes. He's got armor. He's got a high mat. He'll tie stuff up. If you want to focus your units on you, or you have to focus your units on him, otherwise, you know, under feet slash, didn't they change the name of it? What's it called now?
What, recalibration? Her feet?
No. The spell, the boosted attack roll spell.
Oh, it's still terminal velocity.
It is still terminal. Okay. Yeah. So, or under terminal velocity. Oh, that's right. They changed the price to 3 focus.
Right.
Stupid. Under with all that, you know, I think that she's just incredibly strong mm-hmm. in the tier.
I'll take my 2 Reapers.
Yeah.
You know what I find really, really amusing?
What's that?
Is that when you look at the Privateer Press forums and people are complaining about this and complaining about that, how many of us actually fielded the Umber Guard list or the Storm list back in the day in Mark I when we had those tiered lists?
None. I mean, people did just for fun, but
yeah,
it really wasn't.
Exactly. It was about all about fun, which is allegedly what these are supposed to be about. Yet the controversy that's erupting up on the big board is just, it's so shrill, and half the time these people haven't even played the list.
Well, I think that's part of it. It hasn't been tested, so people are scared that it's going to give one faction an edge where they won't have one.
I think that's what I was going to say. Part of the problem is some of them actually look like they're actually pretty decent.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And the people who don't have such a similar diamond in the rough, so to speak, feel left out.
Yeah, I mean, and even if they are better, I don't think they're so better that they're just going to overpower every other faction in every tournament. But even if you feel a little bit underwhelmed or a little bit unfairness there, I can sense why people would
it's
be
it's not
upset.
Even necessarily an overwhelming. It's the you get toys, why don't I get toys too
right,
syndrome.
Yeah. It's a little unfair in their minds at least.
Yeah, and I do understand one thing. I mean, do you guys believe that it's possible that Crix or Mercs or someone is the beneficiary of doing worse in the Summer Rampage last year, pushing their books back and having someone like Signar be the first tier list that had to be written?
Potentially. I mean, we don't know when they had these written, though. I mean, we know the books are done months in advance.
True.
So, but that doesn't mean things can't be tweaked, so who knows?
Assuming they're development. No, they've said that their development cycles years in advance.
Well, yeah, in terms of like knowing what models might be down the line.
I would assume that they had a lot of it planned up front before any of the books came out anyway. So,
but that doesn't mean that they can't change it once people see it. Maybe, you know, oh, wow, maybe these aren't very good.
You would figure that testing these would be part of their playtest cycle.
Well, I'm sure it would be, yeah.
You know.
But I mean, I definitely think that, especially the Mortal Kombat one, it's going to be a lot of fun. And I like that they give you an option that could be competitive. I definitely agree with you, John, that it is for fun. But you know, if it works out, you know, it works out. I mean, I think Epic's Severus' list is stupid.
Yeah, awesome. Actually, that's when Josh and I were talking about what I should probably prepare for. Actually, Epic Severus is the list I pulled together to talk about tiers. But there's a few other ones in the Protectorate book. You know, you look at the Kriosses, and they've got some wonderful tiers as well. And then a lot of people are on the other end of the scale. Some of the less popular casters like Amon or Resnick, their tiers maybe aren't quite as strong as the main line prime casters were.
Yeah, I mean, Amon, he is. It's kind of disappointing, in my opinion, just because I feel like he had the ability to
he's our Mort Nebra. He could have come up with the crazy cool Jack tier list, and he didn't get it.
He didn't get it. And, you know, no choir. I mean, even if you just want even if, okay.
No yeah. choir and no heavies if you want to go tier four.
The no heavies thing is one thing, but just the choir.
If you could have the choir with lights.
If you have a choir, people would be a lot more, they feel a lot better. You know, PAL 15 starting off on most of your Jacks, ramping. I mean, it's, you know, you may not need heavies. You may feel better about fielding more heavies. I know I've seen the Devout Army, you know, inverted building synergy on your opponent's turn, mm-hmm. Mark one, and that's pretty cool. And so, I mean, you've got a lot of options, but without the choir, it's just not viable.
And I guess that's my biggest complaint. If you want to talk about the Amon list specifically, is that you can build a fluffy Amon list, and you could build a cool kind of tricksy list that does stuff like not field heavies, but they don't let you have the couple key pieces to do that.
Absolutely. Well, before we get into all the tiers, especially in the
book. Oh, you want to do Fluff first?
There's a couple of little things I wanted to
go
before we small things.
Okay.
A minute. But before we went too deeply into the tier list, the next thing on my list was, Dave, I played a game where I proxied Venethrax the other day, and you were wanting to know how that turned out. I played against Raven, played against Legal Gun, one of our locals. I ended up losing. As I said, I was proxying Venethrax. He held his own through the game, but he was really boring to play. He didn't really – nothing really seemed to
shine. Medium base versus Mage Hunter is not good.
Well, even that wasn't the thing. It was the fact that his spells were really good, but there didn't seem to be a whole lot of overlapping there didn't seem to be a whole lot of I hate to use the word synergy again, but there didn't seem to be much –
interaction between
him
and his
army.
There
wasn't a whole lot of interaction, especially between him and his army, because you can't support him doing much.
The comment that we made talking to each other while your game was playing is that you can't throw out near as much corrosion as Protector can fire.
That's true.
I mean, corrosion's irrelevant. That ability is irrelevant, in my opinion.
Well, I think he can throw out a lot of
corrosion. It could be cool, though, if he could throw out more.
Yeah, but... Yeah.
But the thing is that... I lost what I was going to say.
You were going to say that while Lamentation is absolutely ridiculous...
I was able to use Soul Harvester to get some extra souls. So two turns in a row, I had 10 focus. That's not bad. Lets me throw out a couple of Hellfires, Blood Rains, whatever. But there just wasn't much interaction. And in the end, I couldn't kill enough of his Mage Hunter, Strike Force, the Mage Hunter Strike Force to save him. I Venomed twice with a War Witch, and I just couldn't kill those things. So he was cool. He just didn't really pop for me very much. But mm-hmm. I'll have to try him again. So again, that was just my first game with him.
I just think that when you look at Caustic Presence and you want to compare it to Epic Fiora, it just doesn't matter. Like, you win games by getting fire on their Warcaster and just keeping them in Epic Fiora's control area. You can't win games by putting corrosion.
You can't always get Fiora up to their caster if they're playing far back, and you can set their stuff on fire, and it's auto-death for infantry. You can do the same thing with Venethrax, but you don't have near the ways to get corrosion out there. You don't have Bonded Redeemers or Vanquishers to set out big 4-inch corrosion AoEs that auto-kill infantry.
It would be really cool if one of his tier lists gave the Blow Thrall corrosion.
This is true. That's actually...
That's what I think is really missing from that is that...
I think that'd be an awesome tier 4.
It would. Yeah, I mean, they do corrosion damage, but not actual corrosion.
Right.
Yep. That's the big difference. You know, with Epic Fiora, you bond the Redeemer, and then you've got this amazing 4 AoE a turn firebomb brigade that and I agree with you, Dave, that it's awfully hard to get the fire won't go out piece, get her up close enough, the Caustic Presence, to have it all work out. You can edit the hell out of that. I have no idea what the hell I was just saying.
No, you're so good.
Much for one shot Christensen. But anyway, what I think I was trying to say is that it's difficult to keep Fiora that far up in the fight, especially against a good player, because she'll get popped.
Especially if she's feeding her Redeemer. Now, her feet turn. She can throw out some focus. She can camp on it. And okay, she's relatively safe against anything except like Retribution with Mage Slayer or Mage Hunter. But yeah, against
Mage Hunter,
because they'll know the focus on her,
but not the Mage Hunter's Strike Force. I mean, you, armor 17 base. I mean, you're fine.
That's true. But the thing is, she can't stay as far up. She does have escort. I mean, that's going to help. But again, not against anything that ignores spells. But
I think that, I mean, barring a few pieces in the Retribution, I mean, I have never feared those Mage Hunters. They're not that bad. I mean, people, if you are stupid, you will lose to them. But I think that Fiora is almost stupid proof, because I think that armor 17, you're not going to. She's got, what, 16 boxes?
If you can take out the Mage 17? Hunter assassins early enough.
And all you gotta do is lob an AoE.
You don't have anything to worry about.
Yeah, they have stealth, but you have a 1 in 3 chance of hitting them anyway.
Yeah,
and that would be the chance of the AoE. You're
probably bringing
off
a Vanquisher as well, mm-hmm. which is just a ridiculous jack.
The one, I guess this is something about the book and Menoth in general, is I don't like that there's not really any other options to bind with her for mm-hmm. the bind. The Redeemer is just automatic. You know, there's nothing. You don't really gonna take a melee jack and bind it to have fire. I've never seen it. Yeah, everybody takes the Redeemer. Mark 1, some people took the Vanquisher, but now the Vanquisher has auto fire anyway, so there's no need to bind
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I mean,
there's your options are really limited.
And the only other one that is even remotely an option would be the Reckoner at that point. And you know, unless you're going to vassal it, you're only going to be setting two models per turn on fire.
Yeah.
It's not like she's got Explosive or anything. Seriously, we out there.
Yeah,
that would actually because Explosive removes all qualities from the weapon,
it
would cancel. It would cancel fire.
Well, sure. Just I thought it was just on the blast damage that it did that. I thought it still worked on there.
I could be completely wrong.
Either way, it wouldn't do that.
Yeah, but wouldn't that work though if it was bonded? Because does the bonding actually affect the weapon, or is it an effect of the bond? You know what I'm saying?
That's a good point.
Because it may override the Explosivo's taking away the quality of the weapon, because it's not an innate.
You know, it isn't. You're right. It's not a quality of the weapon. She just says if it hits, if the jack hits, it sets it on fire. So actually, Explosivo would combo with that, oddly enough.
So when you finally get Explosivo,
no. So when you play with Durgan.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Yeah.
Well, is that only
two casts?
For sure, it's faction models.
Well, then okay. Then when you play with Durgan, it doesn't work.
There we go.
When you play with Venithrax Epic, you can have it then.
Sure. Yeah.
Of course.
Do you guys remember when we were talking about Venithrax versus Raven? Remember that time?
Yeah. I also wanted to say, I think Venithrax. This isn't some big revelation, but I think Venithrax would be so much better versus Hordes. Not only because of the spell that lets him get the Fury. Well, that too. But also because Lamentation screws Hordes, I think, worse than War Machine. Yeah. So
it depends. I mean, I think that War Machine definitely has the bomb spells down a little bit more, like the 4-focus and the 3-focus spells that, like, if you're going against Vlad, you know, you just can't even cast Signs of Portents or Blood of Kings. So it's pretty strong. But other than that, I do agree that there will be more spell casting in Hordes just due to Anima and whatnot.
Well, it's also because of the lack of arc nodes.
Sure.
It's easier to be in the
control
area.
You have to be farther upfield to make it work.
Yeah.
Let's see. Anybody else have anything to say about that?
I did play a couple games, but I want to talk about them later when we start talking about Warcasters.
Okay.
I almost said Warlocks.
I had one quick thing that we haven't talked about, and that's the Scythian. And I thought, Dave, you'd for sure would bring that up.
That was did you guys talk
about Didn't we talk about it last week?
The actual stats dropped the day after we
recorded. Might have thought we talked about it last week
because
of how accurate,
dead right.
Because how accurate I was.
You said
on
Reach and Bloodbath, I believe.
I said Reach, Bloodbath, PAL 17s, Carnivian Chassis, no bite or spray.
Maybe Jason knows more than he's letting on.
He didn't guess the Animus.
I didn't,
he wasn't.
But I didn't guess at the
Animus. Do you play Legion, John?
No, I do not. That's one of the very few factions I don't play. But on
congratulations.
You know, we were talking about the new podcast that G'day Bloke and I have, Lost Hemisphere Radio. Our first guest was Paul Nguyen, the guy that won TempleCon. Ultimate Legion, yeah. He was on there, and he's fairly impressed with the Scythian.
I like it a lot.
How can you not?
It's filling in a hole that the army needed. I've already seen people complaining, but it's not as good as a Carnivian.
It's not supposed to be.
It's cheaper to fill in
a different
slot.
It's the Crusader of that force. For
it's
like
not even the Crusader.
Term.
It's Elite. I mean, that's pretty
Anybody that complains about a heavy beast with Reach can suck it.
With Bloodbath.
And this
which makes it really
make
good.
17's not bad.
No, 17's great, especially with Legion's ability to increase the power and accuracy of their beasts.
And we can turn those into 19s. We can turn them into Mat 8 19s with some casters.
Mm-hmm. You can turn them into dropping die, 3 die. You know,
Ryze can feet, and he can pop behind stuff with that extra reach and then start laying into other things.
Sure, sure. I mean, and people were saying that Bloodbath sucks. I mean, I disagree. I've seen You know, you
it's extremely situational.
But it's not, because if you attack a heavy, it's an additional attack. It doesn't matter if there's more people around. If I had a chain attack additional attack, I would love that chain attack.
What it comes down to is people have only seen it previously on Drago, mm-hmm. who doesn't have reach. So it's super, super limited.
If you remember Cro-Mac Mark I, he had Bloodbath, and that was stupid strong. And I've seen it kill so many things, like, you know, go in, lay into a jack that's surrounded by stuff. I mean, let's just say you're playing against Menoth. How many juicy things are going to be hanging around your jacks that you would totally love to clean up with a reach beast?
Well, talking about Rise, Dave, tell me if this wouldn't work. You go up to a heavy, you hit it once, you pop behind it, make sure you're oriented so you hit it again, and then you slaughter everything behind it.
Yep.
Oh, that's nice.
That's amazing, yeah.
There is a lot of flexibility in there, and yeah, it's situational. It is an extra attack if you're attacking heavy, but if you're going against infantry, it's useless.
Sure.
But if you're going against
no chain attack is worthwhile.
I mean, if you're going against a Warcaster, it's probably useful. So, I mean, there are a lot of good use for it. I like it, and I'm going to buy at least one.
I think you know, a lot of people played two Carnivians. I think you're going to see like 1-1.
I think
because that saves you 2 points. That's a Shepherd or a Forsaken or, you know, some other support.
What about 35 points, 3 Scythians, a Carnivian, and Epic Thagrash?
He sent me that in an email. That's awesome. The other day.
Because you can do that. That's
would you like to fight that, John?
I would like to protest against that last statement. I have no desire to see that much beat stick coming down the pipe at me.
I'll play Kray and a bunch of hunters.
That's fine.
I guess what I'd have to do is just throw out a full unit of TFG and hope for the Piper behind it, and just hope to God I can contain them long enough to not absolutely lose the whole game.
Just trample.
You just spray and then you just kill the Piper.
I hate trample. Trample makes me sad.
Can't you not trample over them with Iron Zeal? Is that old thing?
No, you're thinking of like the paladins used to have a thing where you couldn't go past them.
That's right.
They can be trampled quite effectively, actually.
Wait, what? Is that thing after on your list true?
Yes.
Really?
Not stats.
Yeah.
Just the picture.
Really? I didn't see that.
Oh, are we done with the Scythian?
Yeah.
Sure.
The Warpwolf Stalker model.
Oh, I thought you said it says new Stalker model. I was is there a new Stalker model? Did I miss something?
That says WW Stalker
model. No, this is Pokey the Wolf.
You are a circle player, so this is up your alley, right, John?
Yes, indeed. I'm happy to get Pokey the Wolf.
He's
a confrontation.
I saw someone on our forum say he better be damn good to be giving up his bite and his claw off the bigger Warpwolf. Well, we just got done talking about how awesome heavy reach beasts can be. And look at the size of that sword. That is at least as big as a Nephilim warrior's or soldier sword.
Or a nomad.
And it has reach.
Why are his legs so fat?
Yeah. I think this is what we're talking about.
He's squatting down.
Yeah,
he leaps. This is powerful thighs.
If he leaps, that would be awesome.
His called powerful thigh.
he's a thigh master.
Is it some sort of like auto headlock or arm lock?
I don't know what.
No, he's got a jump kick attack.
He's got sausage fingers. Is what he has. Those things are huge.
Chain attack.
I want to know what his warps are. That's going to be cool. What do you think his warps could be?
Maybe he won't have them.
I think he's going to get stealth.
Well, the other two warples do.
I think
it's probably likely.
Stealth,
that would be nice.
Ghostly.
I don't think...
The pureblood, well, does pureblood only give him to ferals or all warples?
No.
I think it's all warples. All non-pure. I think it's all non-pure.
I don't think he'll get stealth. I think, if anything, I think he would be more likely to get camouflage.
Sure. Camouflage. Okay.
I mean, because...
I just think that he's going to be stalkery.
It's more chameleon. It's more like a natural thing.
I think speed as well.
I think it'd be awesome if he had a spiny growth or whatever, like he pops spines out, and then if you hit him, you take damage.
I would really like it if he was able to have like a Palpa Strength 16 attack base, you know, because, you know, you're looking at the other ones in there, maybe even a 17, and then not give him a warp for strength.
Well,
I think
what we're going to see here is that this is sort of the heavy version of a Devout, and that means that with the new rules where all you're getting is an extra melee attack. With a heavy, that's going to do some damage, especially if... How do the rules on warps read? Is it for one turn or one round?
Because armor, I mean, it has to be round.
Oh, that's true. Duh. And so if you come into the melee range on this thing, he's with a warped strength, it's going to make you sad.
Once again, it's assuming that he gets the warp strength. Like I said, I'd love to see if he doesn't have that warp strength, because it'd just be really cool to give him... He's the stalker, you know, he's supposed to be this hunter. I think it'd be really cool if he had a lot of cool defensive or like mobility warps. Right.
So that'll be cool. Hopefully they'll give us the stats, because Circle Book isn't coming out till the end of the year.
I'd like to see the stats for all those
minions is end of the year.
Well, okay, it'll come out in November or whatever.
I mean, we don't
late enough
Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah, we have. I'd love to see the stats for all the heavies. that have come out, because we've seen them all for all factions, including the minions. So it'd be really cool if we could see some.
One more little thing. I got an email from a Kiwi, Mitchell, or one of our listeners down in New Zealand. And he was asking me about my Fight Club post, and I had to tell him that I had to drop out of Fight Club, couldn't finish it. But the important thing is that his last sentence is, also, I find the singing funny. Keep doing it, especially the look at my horse that Jason does.
Heyo.
And I told him you'd probably bust out as soon as I told you that.
I'm going to have to save that May for later in the episode.
Look at my horse. Okay, my horse is amazing. Dude. Give it a lick. It tastes just like cereal. I don't know.
I just threw up a little.
I did too.
So,
did you guys see, I don't know if it's on the big boards, the Horgenhold Artillery and the Dwarf UA has been kind of spoiled on what
they
really?
Did. Oh, really? I hadn't seen that.
Enlighten. Yeah.
I don't remember. I don't remember off the top of my head. God, you got a laptop, Jack.
I do. Well, we don't want to run out of time. That's true. Why don't we get to the book and we can talk about that stuff later.
Yeah. We'll wait till we get some concrete.
Yeah.
Quickcrete.
All right. I did not read the book, so I'm going to be silent for the rest of the episode.
Wow. I'm sure you've got some opinions.
You. Probably, but say, right. What'd you say, Tim?
I got a name for you.
What's that? Oh, don't even call me that.
So, I don't want to do what Tim did last time and actually read you the fluff on the mics.
I do, though. So, I think page slide, 7.
I think just giving an idea, because like, I would probably never read it, but I'm still
Well, let's start with this. I'm going to start with the military of the Protectorate org chart, which lists High Executioner Resnick in charge of the Executioner Interdiction, which is listed right. Job is Public Relations for Hierarchs Various. So
I about fell out of my chair when I read that.
Yeah, that's where funny. Our opening came from. That was hilarious. We actually walked in separately. We all walked into the game store to pick up the book Friday.
Within like 5 minutes.
Yeah, within like 5 minutes of each other. And so we were sitting around kind of reading it, and I just started laughing at that.
Pretty good.
So the guy carrying the big porter rack is your public relations guy. I'm guessing that they just don't care that much.
You will like us or else.
Yeah.
I don't want to work with him.
You don't have much choice.
So fluff-wise...
Vindictus is a prick.
Vindictus is a huge prick.
he's a giant ass, and you know it's you see him fighting with other well not fighting but like you know being at conflict with other Protectorate people, which we've seen that since Fiora and Krios, but yeah. it's kind of.
I was about to say
that's forbidden love.
I really wanted to say, I really wanted to say that he reminds me of Fiora a lot. Like that was something I was thinking of, just being so
self-important.
Self-important, yeah. And he's God, and I love how he like, you know, he's like such a weaselly little guy. He's like groveling at you know Severus's feet, and then turning around, just not even caring what Severus says.
It's very, I like this guy already.
I like Sevi a lot.
I love Sevi.
Sevi's a fantastic hierarch.
Yeah. I like the point that it made a point to mention, like, yeah, after he read from the book, the dude's like young again. I mean, he's talking about how invigorated his voice is and stuff like that. He doesn't sound like an old man. He is, you know.
He's the Protectorate of Viagra.
Pretty much.
Like he'd used a shake weight.
Yeah.
Here's the question. Is he going to be able to manifest power like what's his name? I can't think of his name.
Boyle?
Garrick Boyle.
Yeah, Boyle. Yeah. Because you know how he manifested all that power.
Yeah.
But he wasn't fighting like Severus does. So
he's got to grow into his new pants.
Possibly.
Or something.
He's got to go down to the tattoo shop and take the long treatment.
Yeah, he's got to get the book on him before he can actually do that cool stuff.
Sweet.
Hey, he can actually channel a ranged attack now. That's pretty godly in War Machine.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
He did gain, what, 2 or 3 rad on that?
Yeah.
Can Sloane do that? Oh, no. How ridiculous.
No, but Sloane she could probably one-shot 7.
Oh, God.
If Sloane could channel her gun.
All right,
She'd be stupider than she already is.
There's two fluff stories. One's Vindictus. The other one is basically Harbinger-centric.
Which was awesome.
Which was sweet. Yeah, I loved hearing more fluff about her.
It was very...
Erotic.
Erotic and painful at the end, but it was good.
They totally hit in another character, Jack, too.
They did.
Vindictus's
Reckoner.
I was like, that is so cool.
Character Reckoner.
Okay, hold on. Can just because
it needs,
there's named
it needs another point of speed, just like the Fire of Salvation got.
No.
So it's a speed 6 Reckoner.
Yep. We've seen so point many character, quote-unquote, Jacks throughout the day.
And Beast, even that and Axer. Beast.
Oh, at Braun and Jor.
And too,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's all sorts of...
Yeah, but I think that they're likely to make it
I
in.
Think that is a hint of things to come. God, I also, Braun if you around. Look at the... Are we done with fluff, or are we going to keep going with fluff?
I don't want to go into it more.
Okay.
I want to go into more about the Refuter of Heresy.
Oh, he's awesome.
Awesome.
He's just badass. He's keeping an eye out for his boy, and I just have these visions of that gigantic cannon turning
it sounds
around.
Like,
and
yeah. It sounds like he has the Mulg
protective fit.
Yeah, protective fit as his Jack Bond.
Nice. I also could see him having shield guard because he kind of just was like always near Vindictus, kind of making sure he was okay.
Yeah, but that's also like it also kind of described the Vigilant as doing shield guard, which I think, but that was girded. So, I mean,
right.
That might just be because it's a big bulky thing.
Remember the Vigilant?
We'll get to him.
They also hint that if you read any of like the little offset boxes in the military stuff, that the Northern Crusade exemplars, there's a Seneschal that's a Bastion. So maybe there will be a Solo down the line that's a Bastion.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, sure.
That would be cool.
Though. That'd be so sweet.
But yeah, what's his name? The Refuter of Heresy?
Yeah, yes. The Refuter of Heresy.
He does. That would be cool. I think it's interesting that they finally kind of established a naming scheme for Protector Jack so they can actually throw those out there. Even if we don't get them, now everybody's already speculating and talking about how cool it would be.
Yeah, you know, the time frame that I'm looking at here, if you remember, Death Jack was in the first Monsternomicon, and I'm pretty sure that it was, 5 years between the Monsternomicon and Apotheosis? So we could be waiting for the Refuter for some time, but I'm guessing they're going to go earlier than later.
I would say probably the next War Machine book. Not necessarily the Refuter, but for more character Jacks. I believe that they really enjoy them. We know they sell a crap ton of them. Mm-hmm. Although it's a one-shot deal, you're probably only going to sell one of them, whereas with non-character Jacks, you could sell multiple of them. But people like them.
They're more detailed and more expensive.
You're going to see like 2 or 3 books down the road, because if you're truly starting over, like the next book will kind of be Escalation-esque. Mm-hmm. So you'll get all those second chassis type Jacks, mm-hmm. the Centurion, the Devout, the Devastator, you know, all those guys will get like another Jack or something.
I would hope so. Yeah.
And then you'll see character Jacks again.
And then because it's on the Devastator chassis,
I don't think that's
going
to happen. I don't think that's going to happen because, like, at the back of this book, we've seen plastic versions of the Mark I chassis.
Right. Sure. I think you're going to see that of the Escalation chassis too.
I think we would have seen some pictures in here because they'd be doing them.
No. I'd say no.
Okay, fine. I'm wrong.
Disagreed. You are. I'm glad you agree with us finally.
For the first time ever, Dave Dankel, ladies and gentlemen.
I think they might have thought about doing that had they not had, 25 books they were releasing this year?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And doing the sculpts and the greens and all that garbage, they had enough to worry about.
Yeah.
I don't want them to do a plastic Jack because it's going to take us like 10 years to get from China. So I appreciate it if we just...
Oh, yeah, and you want to hear a real sob story?
If those kids over there would work faster, we'd have them by now.
Oh, my God, that's so true. It
depends how much lead you want on them, really.
Yeah, what's that, John?
You want to hear a real sad story. I got my incinerators the other day, and one of them came without a head. Good luck with all that.
Oh, man.
So I actually sculpted a green stuff head for him, and it turned out pretty okay, but it's not the same thing. There's 0% chance of getting a head.
I thought I'd seen posts on the big forums where people had miscast or broken plastic models and they just got the bits. I mean, you can't order the bits, but I think you can get them from the front desk.
I haven't tried yet. I've missed it was my weekend to not have bits this weekend. I put together a set of halberdiers and there was a backpack missing and then the lack of head for the incinerators. I've got a call into AJ, but we'll see how that goes.
The halberdiers have backs.
Should I make the obligatory little joke rolls. Of, so John, did you give the Bastion or the Incinerator a head? But
no, I was going to say, satisfying. Nothing's worse than not getting head.
with a there's no such thing as bad head.
Oh, you have no idea. but yeah, I think the Incinerators are beautiful. That's just my opinion. I think they look excellent.
I actually like the art. In the book.
Their art's pretty cool.
I like the flames.
The blazing sword.
Yeah, the front is a little bit better than the initial preview because it's not quite as bright. Mm-hmm. I didn't like the brightness of the preview, but this is a little better.
Yeah, it's more muted.
This suffers the same thing as the rest of the books, and this is not really a complaint so much as an observation that because they're reusing art from various books, you see it from various artists and in various periods of the development of Iron Kingdom's art, so it doesn't all look cohesive next to each other.
The Sunburst?
Yeah. Well, or the Avatar. The Avatar looked like it's from an anime.
So did like the Reckoner. Yeah. But they'll, you know, I'm sure when they put later books out and they, you know, do all new art by like the same artist or using the similar scheme, that inconsistency will disappear.
The Avatar picture was actually really disappointing that they went with the Apotheosis picture.
Yeah, because everyone else has gotten a new picture.
And you look at the cover, and that's the first picture of the Avatar that I went, damn. That's what I expected from the Avatar of Menoth.
Well, Well, there's a picture, I think it's in this book too, from Apotheosis, where it's fighting the Mechanithralls.
Yeah. He looks like a holy gorilla.
It's on 15.
I like that picture. You know, the butter knife of doom looks really butter knife-y.
Yeah, it does.
The handle's about the size of the sword.
It's like the Mechanithral hanging on for dear life. Yeah. Or unlife.
That many Mechanithralls would probably wreck the Avatar.
If they could hit it.
You speak copper heresy. Striking? Yeah, it's only, it you only need five.
Yeah.
You speak heresy.
He's oh, it is only 10, isn't he?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Combo strikes, you'd totally wreck it.
All right, you want to start with the tier lists?
Go for it.
All right, we talked about the tier list. We talked a little bit about Amon. Any of them really stand out to you guys as being fantastically awesome, or are they all just kind of fluffy?
In the store, we were talking about how it seems that a lot of their tier 2s require you to take double units.
Yep, and that pretty much makes it so I will almost never play a tier list.
And I think that's going to affect a lot of people.
Yep.
Let's go ahead and say it's not going to affect one D. Vader, who has stated he will buy every single tier list in the Crix book.
Yep.
He probably already has most of them.
He probably does, yeah.
But that's insane. But
he also said he's going to paint them all.
I know.
I think
by
that
the end of the year
for people who like buy and assemble and paint a list or two, it's just going to give them something to purchase towards. But for someone like me, I buy like pretty much one of everything, and I build lists not really randomly but kind of spontaneously.
For stingy misers like Dave,
I'm not going to buy two units of I'm not going to buy 2 units of Idrian for one tier list,
especially because Idrian suck.
That's actually my problem too. I mean, Resnik is far and away my favorite caster in the Protectorate, and you know what, the Cinerators are cool. I've got 2 units of painted Bastions, and it just breaks my heart that I'm not going to be able to go tier 4 with Resnik, because there's no way I'm going to have 2 Cinerators and 2 sets of Bastions.
Well, it's cleansers, right? Not Resnik.
Well, that's right. Yeah, you have to add the cleansers in order to get up to the next set of tiers, and that's the cleansers die to a stiff breeze.
Yeah, they're just...
I don't understand how they fit fluff-wise.
Yeah, I don't
because
understand.
Because the cleansers are like internal police,
Okay.
So they fit right in with him.
I see. That makes sense.
This would be more of a kind of internal purging and peacekeeping type force, it would appear.
Okay.
Public relations, which like
is,
they said.
Exactly.
Execution
which is surprising that he doesn't have Order of the Fist, because those guys do the same job.
Yeah.
All of those guys are busy helping him on.
I'm a pretty big
cross
fan
across the
of,
desert
I'm
without
a pretty big
choir.
Fan. Sorry. Sorry to interrupt, but I'm not sorry at the same
Jason's
time.
Jason's got something to say, everybody.
I've got
quiet
something
down.
To say. I'm a big fan of Vindictus's tier list. I remember reading it. I just need to go ahead and glance over it once more. But while you do not have a big melee punch, I mean, you still got Errants who can – newer weapon masters, you know, no less. And you can only have the speed 5 jacks, but, you know, we've seen a lot of people enjoying the Reckoner as of late. The Avatar is also speed 5.
Yeah, but he's a character.
Oh, yeah, you can't bring the Avatar. But you can include your speed 5 lights. I think that you know, it's good. And once again, we talked about this before this book came out. Tier lists with the essential units are always going to be stronger, and he can use the choir, and so that's really huge.
Yep.
He also has a plethora of solos he can bring.
A plethora.
Yeah, he does.
He also gives you a free errant UA. They really want to sell those, apparently.
I don't think they need much help.
Yeah, I don't think they need much help either. I'm not going to buy a unit of errants.
That would be the one. That would be the one tier that I would almost be tempted to do the 2 units.
I would run just the errant UA if I could in my army.
Well, you already have a max unit, Dave. You just buy a min unit and you could and two UAs and you'd be good.
How
to
do
go.
You buy just a min unit?
Yeah, I actually bought a min unit of errants. Just
I guess
because
they're probably still out there. Somewhere.
Yeah, they still sell.
No, they don't even. They haven't reboxed anything yet. They do need to rebox things, by the way, I think.
So,
I got to say, though, I'm pretty lucky from the Kador perspective that, like, the units I have multiples of are, like, the Grey Lords, or the 3-man units. They're a little cheap. I think some lists, depending on what you want to play, like, tier list-wise, I think there's a cost. There's obviously a dollar thing related to that. You know, 3 Grey Lords is a lot cheaper than, you know, a box of errants or a box of trenchers or whatever. So
I think that a really big deal too, something that we saw in the Kador book that we didn't end up seeing with Fiora, which I thought we'd see, it is hold on, let me go ahead and check.
There are a lot of my casters which say Temple Flame Guard or Knight's Exemplar.
Yeah.
I mean, if they said Flame Guard or Exemplar I would love it. I would be
Whereas
thrilled.
Like Sorcia says Winter Guard units, and so you can bring a mortar and that qualifies.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a
field
really
gun.
Big deal. Or field
gun.
Yeah,
well
absolutely.
They do talk about Flame Guard solos coming in. Mm-hmm. And as of right now, there's no such animal. But my guess is that
Idrian's too.
Yeah, I was listening to another podcast the other night that had DC on in an interview, and he's already pretty much talking up the fact that Flame Guard are going to be transforming into more along the lines of the Winter Guard, where they're going to be getting attachments and all that kind of stuff as the books continue.
That makes sense. They're the standard of the they're the standard troops.
Yeah, they're nice.
Yep, they're real nice.
I'll say this, think we've I don't want to go on too much about the tier lists, but I will just I'll say this in general about the Protector tier lists. Tier lists are fun and fluffy, and the biggest complaint that you have to level at the Protector ones is that for a faction built so hard upon its synergy, when you start taking away key pieces,
it's a house of cards.
Yeah, it does start really. You're taking away more from the list than you're adding in the tier bonuses, because the tier bonuses are more of on par of what the other factions get, but they're not necessarily losing as much in their tiers.
Can we go ahead and talk real quick? I know we mentioned it earlier how good the Hierarchs of Various tier list is. Can we get some of those points on why we believe that? Like Dave and John?
Well, I think, John, you have a list to talk about after we go through the book, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
What cool. I was, we'll get to that. Something I was also going to say, the previous two books, I believe, have all really pretty much hinted at future things to come. Like the Signar one talks about Cav. Yeah.
What did the Kador one do?
The Kador one talks about Winter Guard Souls, which right now only Grigorovich is there, but not to say there won't be more down the line. That's true. Or,
yeah, a guy with two blunderbusses.
They have one that said Greylord, I think.
On his shoulders.
Was it one awesome. Of the lists, I think, said just Greylord Solos, which right now is only
the Colden Lord.
The Colden Lord, but. Well, the Grey Lords are like all over the place, so you could definitely make more solos.
A Gun Mage Winter Guard with two blunderbusses that are magical. That's what I'm about.
Mage Lock blunderbusses.
All right.
Mage Lock blunderbusses.
So moving on to the models.
Okay. I'm done now.
On to the models.
I mentioned that I played a couple games last Wednesday, and I was playing some games with Vindictus and the Harbinger. Because I actually wanted to compare these two Warcasters. I didn't use the exact same list, but I used similar ones. Mainly because some of their big buffs are very similar, and I wanted to kind of look at the two next to each other. So I actually got two games in. And this is kind of one of the things that it's kind of hard to rate and compare Warcasters. But you know, you got to look at Vindictus and you say, okay, is he good or bad? Well, what's that mean? Is he playable? Are you asking if he's better than your other choices? And looking at Vindictus, you can compare him, I'd say, fairly closely to the Harbinger in a number of areas.
Obviously not the focus stat.
Obviously not the focus stat. That is actually one of the things big in her favor. Basically have the striker stat line, which is cool, but he's missing the key piece of the striker stat line, and that's the gun.
That's true.
So he has no ranged weapon, which means if he's spending his focus on Jackson spells and can't immolate, which is most of the time, he doesn't have a ranged attack. It's just one less attack to throw dice for.
But you are right. But at the same time, you got to think of where his position on the battlefield is. And I think that unlike Stryker, especially because Stryker has disruption now, you would never, no matter what gun you give Vindictus, he wouldn't have disruption. So no. I think that.
But you could cap solos potentially.
Sure. But I mean, you give Stryker a range 10 POW 10 that has disruption. I mean, that's just, it's only good for, I mean, obviously you could. It gives you the potential of what you could do. Mm-hmm. But where is Vindictus going to be? He's going to be to the mid-back casting his...
Is he with Sack Pond? Really? He's got enough guys in front of him?
I actually look at this guy as being a mid-front. Because
he's a mid-front too.
I play solid mid with him.
I mean, the reason I say mid-front is because with the Sack Pond and the fact that Zealots are so stinking cheap, and I know that you guys are all in love with the Vigilant, you know, you can take a Vigilant and cluster Zealots around it, so they're not going to get hit by any kind of blast damage, and then you've got this injury battery that could be running along behind Vindictus to be converting more and more people into Zealots.
I think that way there'd be danger back though.
I think even if Vigilant's running, you're still not going to be able to cluster that many Zealots around it, because that means you have to move the Zealots first and know exactly where the Vigilant's base is going to end up.
Additionally, I also think that if you give – I think you're pigeonholing yourself on your army composition. Yeah, you'll be great against Sloan. Yeah, you'll be great against, some things. But even Siege, where you think he wants the gun, He's going to end up just pummeling you with, you know, he can kill all of the.
Well, I think for.
Well, he can ground pound. That's not ground even.
You're
an
always
going
to have to
ranged attack.
You still, yeah. You're always going to have to adjust where your caster is in your army based on what you're facing.
Sure,
so,
but I'm
yes,
saying
that's
like
true.
Most looks you give, if you have Vindictus surrounded by zealots and a vigilant, it's going to be a game over look because I don't think your offensive output is going to be high enough.
Well,
to
we
warrant.
Can talk to that when we get to the vigilant because yeah. I think that's a fair point, but that's not anything to do with Vindictus well, himself.
Keep in mind that this theory on Vindictus is brought to you by Theory Machine. Theory Machine yeah. making you look like an idiot day after day.
Well, my Theory Machine is spot on.
My Theory Machine brings all the boys to the yard.
You love that song.
I went there.
Just a small comment about the art. He's got his legs together like that. You would never see anybody in the middle of a battle with their legs like that, standing like that.
Well, I don't know. Maybe he has to be in that formation to cast spells. See how he has the inverted
it's a somatic
component?
It's
then you go
somatic
there and you
component.
Push him with your finger and he falls over.
I'm so sorry.
I
hate
looks
the model.
Awesome. I think I like him because he looks like he's so Weasley and little, but he's got this big, bulky.
He does like have a Weasley
organ.
Look to him. It is kind of entertaining.
Instead
it's an
of
okay
having
model.
Two. Pauldrons that guard his, you know, neck from a sword. It just wraps around. It's a collar.
So
he should have parry.
Just cap him in the knees.
Anyway,
on.
So you compare Vindictus to the Harbinger. They both have
you do
speed buffs. Yeah, I played them both next to each other. I want to kind of do this to just make a point. They both have speed buffs. Difference is Vindictus affects all warriors at all times. So you can run with it. You can shield wall with it. You can move your choir, and then they can sing with it.
Furthermore, you can gain Pathfinder.
Uh huh. The difference is the Harbinger lets it go to jacks when they charge. So, and with her bigger control area, she can, for example, have something like Daughters under the effect of it charge, and the next turn still catch him with it again, which is pretty big.
And he only needs to catch one of those models in the unit.
Yeah. Well, no, she has to have the models in her unit, but he only has to catch one.
Well, that's what I was saying. Yeah.
Now, you got the focus aspect definitely on the Harbinger side, without a doubt. 10-6. There's no comparing there. That's an extra, what, 8-inch? I can't do math right now. 8 inches on the control area?
Sure.
That's six, ridiculously right.
huge. But you are looking at a combined 31 for defense.
6-10. That's 4 focus times 2.
Oh, he's a 6.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I thought he was a 7.
Nope.
No. That makes it even worse.
Yep.
Vindictus, you suck.
But he has the combined 31 for defense and armor, whereas her 28 is...
Whatever, you can combine those all you want. I'll still health
right.
her to death.
Well, see, now, I've played her, and even when I was spending... quote unquote, a lot of focus, she was still camping on about 3 or 4.
Right, right.
But what I wanted to get to is defensive capabilities personal. Obviously, he's got the edge. Small base and sack pawn as opposed to her large base and getting shot in the face. But
it's a key, that's it's a key right. difference it, there.
Yeah. And on top of that, she gives the offensive buff with guided hand, which she can also put on multiple units. And he has the defensive defender's ward.
Defender's Ward is better.
Defender's Ward is better.
It's stupid.
But,
I love Defender's Ward.
How
but
do you not?
Guided Hand really complements Crusader's Call because it's forcing you to charge anyway and you're able to get the attack on it. So the question is, I mean, does Vindictus do what the Harbinger does better than her? I don't really think so. I mean, I think that he does something different. I mean, the shrunk control area. I mean, his defensive
you gotta look at the feet difference,
bigger,
too.
But,
the feet, her feet is stupid good. I think it's way better than his.
I think they're both, I would say, scenario feats.
Yeah, but in his, I can charge. I mean, I can still
move towards him
with infantry. Like I don't have to do.
Yeah, but if he's in the zone first,
you're just moving toward his weapons that are going to kill you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but if I can charge him,
unless you have jets.
I can charge Vindictus with you know Iron Fang Pikemen. You know, I can charge him and just damage him, and then they die. Sure, but now, if anything, that's sometimes good because now I can charge with more models.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know. I've had such good luck with the Harbinger. It's hard for me to look at a comparison between the Harbinger and Vindictus and think I'm going to come out on top with Vindictus.
Yeah, I think with the exception of like a shooting line army, which I think Vindictus excels at. I mean, his feat is almost built to counter the shooting line. Mm-hmm. His spell True Path lets you engage them quicker. He can sack pawn that if you actually shoot him, his Greater Destiny Zealots are going to take it for him and not care.
I think that I personally think that you said the lack of the gun's a big deal. I think his offensive capabilities should be better. Like, I think he should have had Reach. I think he should
yeah,
have had.
I do.
I actually think Reach and Thresher, as crazy as that sounds, would be so sweet. Just because it's like, you know, they're just Zealots.
Should they give it to Tartarus?
Especially with Death Toll. I mean, the guy's 15, 16 with 16 life. He is not a butcher.
Yeah.
He's got to be in melee to kill the guy.
Yeah, and so
well, it should, and it should be Thresher on the chain weapon.
That's what I was.
So sure. He could go through a shield wall.
That would be so cool.
The cool thing is, you charge in your unit to tie him up and swing him down. Well, he might just make five more zealots. Well,
that probably means you're not going to do that in the first place, though.
Yeah, exactly.
It's one of those abilities that never goes off.
Exactly. But that's sweet, though. But I mean, I don't like his ability to not death toll. He needs more death toll.
I think so. Yeah.
And he has no
death. I think it's a very fluffy ability. And if you read his, it talks about he is actually he's a merciful man. He stays his hand if someone swears himself. I mean, that's what the fluff version was going on. Sure. If they convert on the spot, he won't kill them. And I mean, it's I don't know which came first, the fluff or the rule, but it actually fits very well. But like Josh said, it's a rule that you're not going to see play.
Yeah, he definitely has the chance to kill someone, but with two Pal 12s, I don't understand why they're both Pal 12. I think a sword versus the flail, I mean, I don't know, it just doesn't
more momentum behind a flail than a sword.
I could see him with like a 13.
I am
11
not going to get into the I know real 11. World's argument and no, try and talk about it. I don't even know if that's true, and we're not going to say that definitively.
Well, the qualities in the weapons give you, I mean, they're going to make you make a choice depending on what you're going against. Yeah. I mean, if you got something with a buff on it, you'll hit it with a sword. Otherwise, you're going to use the chain weapon.
Yep.
Sure.
I think that his chain weapon should have a special ability called Pleasure. It's just a little too phallic for my good, but
is that a rate of fire three on that?
It would have it, yeah. Well, that's like I said, we're talking about crazy. The protector to Viagra, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He is rather standing erect there.
He is.
All right, let's move on.
I'm sorry.
I like how they incorporated the zealot art into the back of that. Like, isn't that picture on the right like pretty much the zealot art spot on?
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we got to put another Photoshop layer. I didn't get to that guy. Let's put him in there.
But, he's playable, but I don't think he's necessarily as competitive as other people. It might be interesting to take him and the Harbinger as your two casters to a steamroller. You won't have two different types of armies to bring, but you might
be able to... Vilmon's going to get
you. You might be able to counter two different... I don't know. It could be two different types of scenario armies.
Well, the thing with this feat that makes it not that great for me is you're still taking the damage.
Yep.
You might kill that long gunner or whatever, but your guy still dies.
It doesn't synergize with Greater Destiny.
Yeah.
It's true. But that's good, though. That gives you two feats.
It does. It does. No, I agree.
I have one guy. I think he's cool. So, I think that I can't wait for the time where I see some guy playing against like Sloan or someone and you have the Greater Destiny Zealots and he's just sack pawning shots off and like you have to kill him, but you have no way to because they've pigeonholed their army so one-dimensionally. I love it. I can't wait to see that.
All right. Should we move on to the contentious Vigilant?
Let's move on to the Repenter and how I wish more people would play him.
I played him in my Vindictus list.
And how do you do?
He did all right. I had
He's four points.
Repenter, and I actually took cleansers with him because then they could walk seven and spray, and that let me position them perfectly. I had three of them spraying over like five bastions.
What's their rat?
I was playing against Protector. Their rat is five, seven.
How 14?
Seven if they aim.
Seven with choir.
Huh? I'm talking about the cleansers.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the only. I mean, yeah, that 15-inch threat with the spray really more because it's wider than a line. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not bad.
But that's a rat five dodging most buffs.
Sure, but I mean, yeah, I haven't had luck rolling sevens lately, so that's why I'm mentioning that.
But yes, I will speak up for the Repenter. We've kind of talked about him a little bit before, but he's so old hat by now. His new model is interesting. You look in the back; there's a plastic version.
Ooh, I haven't seen it. We'll get there. Vigilant. That art is sweet.
The art is not too bad. The painted model, I think that they did a really good job with it. I don't think this Jack was needed in the Protectorate army.
John, you seem to have some ideas about him.
I'll finish up the statement specifically, like in regard to what Josh mentioned with Vindictus, to let him.
John, your
reply,
voice sounds completely different right now.
I know I'm John. Is it? I don't think that the Protectorate army can afford that many more points on defensive, on basically on non-offensive models. We're so support stacked right now that we need to spend points on things that will kill you.
Yeah, you know, my perspective is I'm not as competitive, I don't think, when I say competitive, not from a personality standpoint. I just don't do all that well when I get to the table, whether it be bad dice or crappy tactics, I don't know. But there's just something intrinsically satisfying about taking a 7-point Templar, flanking it with 2 4-point Vigilance and just having him run up the field with all that armor flying up at him. It just appeals to me. I don't know if I doubt it'd be effective at all, but it sure would look cool.
I personally think the Vigilant is better than Dave thinks. I don't think it's horrible. I think Girded is crap and Girded or whatever.
If this guy had Shield Guard,
no,
worth it.
That'd be amazing.
He'd replace the Devout.
I'm saying
no, he's 1 point still, cheaper. The Devout is still a reach jack that can, like, the Devout would be perfect still with Amon because it's both a synergy offensive guy and a shield guard.
But would you not want to pay those extra points for that ability anyway, for his abilities?
For what?
For the Devouts.
For Amon? Yeah, I would.
For anybody.
I think you need to
really?
If you don't have the points to put on a fully defensive jack because he's only power 11, mm-hmm. then yes, I would spend the extra point for the reach 13 over the 11.
If this guy had P plus S 13 shield fists versus these 11s that he's got, I think he'd be
that's worth another good points. Point.
I think it's 13, just 12.
So weakly.
But I think that's – okay, go ahead, John.
What do you think about this? Once again, I'm kind of leaning towards the girded ability. He can run 10 inches. The daughters are probably most susceptible – to AoEs that drift in and wipe them off the face of the planet. Could you use a Vigilant running up as a way to deliver the daughters more reliably?
Run yes, because seven. They could charge through it too. Because they have
speed
medics.
7 though?
Yeah, they are
so
speed 7.
So you're slowing down your daughters.
You are,
yeah,
but
you're not running quite as fast. But
if you can get them up farther because if they don't have a way to ignore stealth, then actually that... Yeah, that would work. You're spending 4 points to do it, and will that fit in your army? I don't know. I can see... the benefit of that if you have the points to do
well,
so,
and what
though?
It allows you to do with the daughters, because they are faster, that means you can guarantee that you're going to get all six of them around the base.
Yep.
Or, you know what I'm saying?
Well, they can run through it anyway.
Well, that's
how
you do
it. Yeah.
You know.
I think that's a cool – I think it's a great idea. And I think that using the Vigilant offensively, I think we looked at a guy with two shields and thought defense. And I personally think he's way more offensive. If you stick a Vigilant into a unit of even Iron Fang Pikemen, he's going to be hanging around for a long time. And he's going to be killing two Pikemen a turn.
Can he
not if they're in shield wall?
Sure, but what are they going to do to him?
CRAM and start taking off boxes.
Okay,
he's 21.
He's 21.
What's their powerful strength?
13.
So they're 23 the first CRA. If they charge,
that's all 10.
That's fine. They can do that because they can virtually ranked attack because they
sure,
can draw line of sight over each other.
4 points.
Not for you nothing, guys, but if you're using an entire unit of Iron Fang to kill a 4-point model, I'll take that any day of the week.
Yeah, and here comes some zealots, by the way.
Well, I mean, I'm saying like in the scenario instance, I mean, if he's what is holding your point, then it's worth it to throw the unit at him.
Sure, sure, but I'm saying maybe he's not holding your point. Maybe I like him better running into the unit of Iron Fang Pikeman saying, deal with this, and now it's exactly how I play the Devastator. He's a light with such high armor. I mean, it's I think it's frustrating.
Kador would love this jack.
I would love this jack.
It is a Kador jack.
I would pay 4 points for that jack and Kador every day of the week, and that's why I think that I personally see some value in him just running into infantry lines.
I mean, for me, he's like Vindictus, only well, I think Vindictus does more for the army than he does, but it's yeah, you can play him, and yeah, you can find ways to use him. I just don't think that in most armies. His points are best spent on him.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible, but I mean, if you look at going up against Retribution or Signar, I personally think that he's going to be very helpful, in my opinion. I think that you see like a lot of weaker things, and while you do have that chain weapon coming at you from a Mage Hunter, I mean, nothing that a Redeemer can't handle.
Well, that's another 6 points, though.
But you're going to have a Redeemer. People do.
You want to talk about the Templar real quick? I mean, we've seen it before.
Seen it before because I've never seen it played, and I think it's amazing.
You haven't?
I've played it.
Oh, played it.
It's amazing.
I've played it.
Do you like it? Does anyone like it?
No.
I have he's done pretty well for me. I was playing against a Retribution army. It was Mangle Metal, and I was playing Amon, and he just like could – he activated like third or fourth of my turn, and he would just wreck a light and a half.
Yeah, absolutely.
Does he do it better than something else with comparable points?
Yes, because of chain weapon.
Oh, sure. I can
and
see that.
Beatback, too.
And beatback. So, he was smacking griffins, and he was just trashing them and moving them and getting past further and like getting up there.
Beatback
so
is
he was,
absolutely
yeah.
amazing with a reach model. What's the last model? What's a reach model with beatback that's like good? Anything? I can't think of anything.
It's like beatback because you're not specified where you have to go.
I love this guy with Epic Krios. On that feed turn, he is going to kill you. Like he can find
if he can get up there.
Yeah, because you auto hit, you get your additional attack, you load them with focus, you give them the choir. You can even use them to vassal. Like if you can vassal beatback attacks in to like stick them into combat with people, that's really cool.
Well, beatback is a normal attack, so it's only on your activation.
Sure, but you can get normal attacks anytime.
Is it?
Yeah,
that's true.
It's not an initial attack; it's a normal attack. Though.
So
here's my problem with it. I have two choices at 8 points that are compelling. There's the Templar and there's the Vanquisher. And for 8 points, I can get a gun that is dead flat amazing. I give up reach, but I pick up Thresher. And I just, every time I reach for the Templar, I end up with my hands on the Vanquisher.
Yeah, that is very true. I mean, it depends heavily on the rest of your army. I mean, the Vanquisher is just so good. It makes taking the Templar tough. He's done okay for me. He's been effective. Would a Vanquisher be more effective? Well, not in Mangled Metal, because the Vanquisher doesn't have the reach, and that gun's not as good in Mangled Metal.
The fire on a light, though, that could do some pretty good damage.
I can't wait for Protectorate to get snipe on one
maybe,
of their
maybe
casters.
That's just coming from
oh, man.
That'd be dumb.
That'd be the best thing that ever happened to life.
You do. It's called Magnus and a double caster
game. Yeah,
sure,
he would work, yeah.
Well, there is that.
Isn't snipe action now?
No.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, that was Stu's theory.
Because he wanted to snipe Severius.
Yeah, he wanted to snipe Severius and arc his things further.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I think I know. I like the Templar. I'm a big fan. I agree. The Vanquisher is pretty amazing. But every time I look at Protectorate, all I see is like troop clearing crap on the table, and it's like I think you might be going overkill. And the Vanquisher against me hasn't really done as much, because I think that if you're using a Redeemer against the troops, the Vanquisher is going to be killing with fire. Generally, the Redeemer's blast damage with the choir is doing just as well.
I've occasionally taken the Vanquisher as a replacement for the Redeemer.
I do like the Templar, though, from the standpoint if I'm playing somebody like a Signar who's going to potentially be sitting back a little ways and then has a lot of jacks that have shields attached to them. It gets me an opportunity to overcome his relatively low speed at 4 with the reach and the chain weapon to get past the shield. So
you can beat the crap out of a Lancer and not take any damage.
Yeah, buddy.
Because it ignores the weapon shield qualities.
Oh, it ignores all the shield qualities. I thought it was just the armor.
Yeah. And here,
the shield qualities right there in front of me. Oh, that's pretty nice.
Here's kind of one. I don't know if this is a problem or not, but you got to even consider this. Is the if you're just going for threat range, the Reckoner is the same price.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
And an extra speed.
Sorry to interrupt, but the shock shield isn't a quality of the weapon. The qualities are anything with the icon.
Yeah.
So you'd still get...
Those aren't weapon qualities.
Because it's based on hitting the jack.
Yeah.
And you I thought that would be a weapon quality. Mm-mm. Only icons.
God, I was hoping you were right.
I believe so.
I'd check into that, though.
My Lancer says bring it.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't know. I feel like a lot of my options, and I don't know, John, if you feel this way as well, but in the jack department, there's just so much competing for our points, and there's... We don't have like a Seether, which is just like an extra focus point jack.
Two.
No, you know, if I'm looking for any kind of focus efficiency, I'm reaching for either the Avatar or the Fire Salvation.
The Fire Salvation, yeah.
I mean, the Fire Salvation, especially with, let's say, a Resnik, where you've got Iron Aggression, I tend to run, when I run Resnik, I run an Avatar and I run Fire Salvation. Why? Because I put Iron Aggression up on the Avatar, turning it into a 7 to a 11 focus jack. And then you've got Ignite up on the Fire Salvation, not for the fire, you know, who cares about that?
You're about 20.
You got that damn straight. You put a choir hanging out behind there, and they're, what, 22?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
Matt 9, 22, okay.
Yeah. Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
And I'll go up there, and I'll one-shot lighter jacks, and, you know, against the heavier ones, they're becoming very sad very quickly.
I really wish he had reach, but that would have been so dumb.
he already moves 13 and a half inches if you're unlucky enough to kill something near him.
Yeah. I don't play him enough.
Oh, I play him constantly. I love that jack. It was actually the first non-battle box model I bought.
Cool.
Very cool.
Into the game right at Legends.
Fires.
And I picked up the Battle Box and I picked up the Fire Salvation. I bet you I can count on one hand the number of times the Crusaders hit the table.
I don't see myself fielding them as much as I used to, just because there are so many options now. But especially Mangled Metal, if you go with a lot of heavies or something, I think they are a excellent jack for the army. But we always try to squeeze out those points in support, it feels like, instead of another heavy.
Yeah.
I find myself, that's what I'm saying, you can, Dave.
But instead of spending points on a heavy, you can get a Crusader and spend less points.
Yeah.
And get those. So I don't know. I think it's, I think Crusader's amazing. I'm very
jealous. Okay. Let me ask this going around the table. And Josh, or John, you too. Everybody around the table, Avatar or two Crusaders?
I'll think I'd say Avatar.
Well, of course you're going to say Avatar.
I'm going to go with two Crusaders.
I'm going with the Avatar.
See, I typically the Avatar too, just because it added threat range in the
gaze.
But
the idea of two Crusaders
the gaze.
It's
all about the gaze, because that's board control. I was lucky enough at TempleCon to play a list with Resnik, the Avatar, Fire Salvation, and a Dervish. It was the, what'd they call it, Death Race? And I took out, I believe it was Rias in 2 minutes and 25 seconds. Because what you do is you put the Avatar off to a slight flank, and I caught her in the gaze, followed by the Fire Salvation running up with boosted attack rolls, and that was lights out for one ninja.
She had no way to block line of sight before she activated?
Nope.
Huh.
She should have just killed the Avatar.
This guy, I don't know if it was a brain fart or what he did, but what happened, but he didn't block line of sight to the big boy, and, you know, after that, she was a sitting duck for the Fire Salvation that was coming in 5 inches behind it.
Damn gaze. So how about one particular unit attachment that makes me cry?
The Exemplar Errant.
Can we do the Incinerators first? Go through the book in order? Yeah.
Oh, well, Josh is the one flipping pages. So
you page flipper. Oh, there they are.
Dude, that art is sweet.
I love the art of the Incinerators. Form, it is badass. It is the Voltron of...
Except they don't win you games like Voltron does.
You don't know
They do. They just wait till the very last minute.
John, you assembled and even created a head for one of these gentlemen. Have you played them yet?
Have I played them yet? No.
Okay.
I don't tend to proxy a whole lot.
Absolutely, neither do I.
So I think that... I guess the way I'm going to run these guys, as I've thought about it, is I'm going to space them out as best I can, and then try to run one of them up and either get killed or get damaged so that I can make them speed 6 and then go to town with them.
Go ahead.
I'm not sure how good a tactic that is, but like I said, I lose a lot, and that could be one swift way to losing, but...
Well, my problem is I've actually been thinking about the Incinerators a lot as I play Bastions, trying to form a comparison. You have to compare them directly because they cost the same points. They're taking the exact same spot in your army. And every time I've played the Bastions, being able to transfer damage has been far and away better than the extra point of armor. And the reach on their weapons, allowing them to space out and clear lanes or fight over each other to hit a jack, has outweighed any need to do fire explosions.
Bigger pre-strike threat ranges, even.
Exactly. And my biggest problem with the Incinerators is that the Bastions exist.
I'm going to start a Malath army and play only Incinerators.
Yeah, I don't
beat you. I agree with you to a very great extent, Dave. The place where I'm would prefer to have Incinerators is if I'm facing somebody that I know from probably a local meta that they're going to bring a lot of troops.
Yes.
And that's local meta. What good does that do you when you show up at a tournament and you don't know you're going to get paired up against Joe Schmo and you don't have any idea, and there you are stuck with this when you could have had, 40 boxes.
Yeah, the way I look at it is, well, I might take a Vanquisher to help take care of that aspect of things, but it's up to taste. I mean, you could take a Vanquisher and the Bastions or Templar Incinerators, I guess.
I'm a fan of Defenders Warded Incinerators, personally. I think Arm 19 is a pretty high threshold.
It is, but I'd be okay with 18 and be able to move damage around, because I've almost never...
But that's the thing, you have to work so hard to get them, and so it's like, you're going to get the Relentless Advance. Because you have to work so hard, and then it's like, oh, you got me.
Well,
and then now
that depends.
I got you.
Did they shoot you or hit you in melee? Because if they're hitting you in melee, you don't need that speed boost. You're already there.
Yeah, but like John said, it's all about positioning with Incinerators. I think that Bastions definitely are a lot easier to play and are definitely a little bit more efficient as far as having that reach.
There's another way of looking at this too, and that is, maybe the discussion isn't so much Incinerators versus Bastions. It's it's either of these two different units versus the TFG. Because if you're...
That's true.
I mean, you're also talking 8 points for a full 10-person unit of TFG with the unit attachment. You've got the possibility... Let's say you're bringing a caster with Defender's Ward. On the charge, your defense 17.
Yep.
With the TFG. And, you know, these guys, both the Cinerators and the Bastions, get hit.
All the time.
With all the time. And as a result, I was all excited about when the Bastions came out. That's probably why I got two units of them, and they're all painted up. And unfortunately, they see a lot more shelf time than they do play time because they get hit so easily that they end up crumpling. Whereas, you know, if I take TFG, they're not going to get hit by most things.
And if they are, the TFG had the lost damage aspect. This is something we've talked about before. Any damage you do over the first point to a TFG is wasted.
You have that choice with the Bastions, which is, and you know, it's not just the ability to transfer damage, it's the ability to not have to.
It's true, but
Steve did that to me. I was playing, he had Bastions. I hit one for 8, he transferred one away. Mm-hmm. I hit it again for 10, and he killed it.
Yep.
I just lost 8 points of damage.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely true, but I mean, the one thing you're not getting with the TFG and the, that you are getting from the Exemplar is that power.
Yes.
You know, you definitely... I've seen so many people bring TFG and all of my Manoth opponents bring them, and they've been losing to the Jason Flanzer Mark II school of thought, which is I'm bringing more meat than anyone can handle. Like, I'm running 4 Cawdor heavies down TFG's throat, and in like a 35-point game, bringing 4 heavies is almost impossible when you're investing in, you know, your couple jacks, your TFG plus UA,
your choir.
And then your choir, your solos, your vassals.
That's when you bring your 4 crusaders and your TFG and your choir.
Yeah, but we just decided that we're not going to do that. And you know what? You can gaze Beast of Nine all you want. He's going to come and he's going to find you.
You know, you do mention a good point on that. There's Jason, right?
Yes.
Who are you again? I forgot what podcast I'm on. Anyway, the one thing they do bring to the party that the TFG certainly don't is a medium base, and you're not going to trample them.
Yep, I do love to trample, especially with
and trolls. Boy, you know, it's all fine and good to have something you can't hit, but if a jack is coming through and is going to trample, who cares?
Yep, you go over their base. I mean, yeah, they're going to be taking, you know, fire free strikes, but when it's Molg, this is going to be irrelevant.
Yep,
fire's all relevant if you live to burn.
Well. Yeah, well, I'm saying like...
I mean, if you don't kill my caster, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, if I do kill your caster. Yeah, but, or if you're Molg.
Or if you're Molg.
It doesn't matter anyways.
Then he's armor.
He actually can't be affected by fire. I chose that up.
Should we move on to the awesomeness of the awesomeness?
Let's talk about the errant officer in standard.
Holy God.
And let's just throw
he's lovely.
Let's just go and put the solo in there. Let's just talk about it. Because they're one huge strike force
Hold on.
OMG.
I don't want to. I want to start with this thing. Because this is the best UA... That's come out of any of the books.
2 points
only
for
two
this?
Points. Yeah, that's what
I can't believe it. You know what? I almost was like, wow. I kept like saying wow. And then all of a sudden, like, it's not even the big deal, but it's just like the fact that they give them this ability and it's only 2 points is they give them purity. And I think that's ridiculous because that's the most ridiculous ability, the no enemy spells ability.
Yep.
Oh my God, it makes them so frustrating. They're already one of the more frustrating units to fight. And now you can't even hit them with magic.
I think these guys are going to be great with Vindictus or the Harbinger because then they're charging 7. They're hitting you with Weapon Master at mat 7, 8 for the solo and the unit. Weapon Master 9s, probably killing you. And if they didn't engage 2 of you so that they're now unengaged, they are going to fire their crossbows thanks to Tactics Quick Work, another 10 inches at rat 6, ignoring any sort of spell buff you have on you.
Oh, and they're both tactics is the worst part. Yes,
exactly.
The banner does grant the purity. But the tactics is...
You kill the officer, and they still get quick work, and they still got Pathfinder.
Yep.
Or even if you're engaging them, they can be in melee, say, I sack for aiming, I kill you, and then I take an aimed shot.
Yeah.
At something else.
Yeah.
So stupid.
Yeah, that's really
awesome.
You
don't have to take Rupert in every list now.
Blessed bows are definitely underrated. I've been playing a lot of Mordheim recently, and I love the crossbow because everyone likes bringing the black power weapons and shit. It's like, no, it's all about the crossbow. And these crossbows are getting me that same feeling with Blessed.
Yeah, but you can move and shoot these crossbows.
Yeah, well, that's true. But I didn't care. I wasn't so upset with them having crossbows, but now the fact they can charge and then shoot them, they're just so deep into your lines.
Like, yeah.
I hate to say mirror match, but against Menoth, these guys are going to be terror you know, if you're not bringing, if you're not.
How about against Wintergard?
Wintergard, it's not as big of a deal because I don't have the juicy solo. I don't bring the juicy solos in the back.
You've got a couple leading and you're kind of funneling them back, and there's Joe back there as well. They could charge in the front line and start unleashing crossbows at the guys behind them.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what I've got coming.
Absolutely. Oh, sure, without doubt.
If you're charging my Winter Guard, there's some problems, I think, personally, with my army. I don't run Winter Guard as a meat shield. I run them on a flank usually, and they like to collapse. I use my meat shield is actually Jax usually, which is kind of funny. But anyways, that's neither here nor there. But they're excellent.
And they get a Hunter with a solo.
And they get Hunter with a solo. Oh, man.
So they're Strider Deathstalkers. Did I say that right?
Yes.
I think so.
Holy crap.
Then Vindictus puts out the Forest, right?
Yeah.
Wait a second. Yeah. No, the solo is excellent, too. I don't know. John, tell me what you think.
It's the reason I went out to the LGS and bought a second unit of Errants. And why I'll have two UAs and in two solos when they come out. They're just too good. This is a really interesting
unit. 8 points.
I know. This unit is really interesting. It went from one of the Alsarand units that you almost never saw.
Because you had Adrian's.
Except for Epic Krios.
Yep. And they went to everybody's most hated unit almost overnight.
I saw these guys in the first version of the Mark II playtest. Like, okay, they haven't really changed. They're eight points.
Yeah, that's a change. Yeah.
They're 8 point for Rat 6.
For Mat 7 Weapon Masters. Yeah, who cares what their POW is? They're Mat 7 Weapon
even,
Masters.
Even like throw them with a Fiora, give them Ignite or Resnik.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's
terrifying.
When you start stacking some of the buff spells up on them, they get stupid in a hurry.
And I hate to say Krios, but gosh, that feat is scary. Yeah. Spellcasters.
I love Epic Krios.
He feasts, they charge kill it, and shoot Krios. The caster.
I mean, you just feat, you just kill everything.
Sorry.
What's that?
My caster won't be knocked down.
Why are you playing Kray?
He's got the Covenant.
God damn book.
I stole the Covenant, yeah. But my biggest complaint, I have two complaints about these guys, and they're not anywhere near enough to keep me from taking them. But every, you know, cloud is a black lining.
No, everything Dave likes has a black lining.
Well, you have to look at their weaknesses too. That's how you kill them. And their weaknesses, they're speed 5.
They're still exemplary.
And yet the solo is 6.
Yeah, which is
because
cool.
He's a baller huntsman.
And they're only range 10.
Yeah.
That's it. But play these bastards with Magnus.
Or.
And then you go to town.
Or you're range 18 because you can charge and then make your attacks. So, I mean, that's pretty sweet. Or with Vindictus 20.
So you can't gunline these guys, but you don't have to now.
I just think that backfield threat is going to be where their strong point is. If you try to sit back and put them in force and stuff like that, that's not where it's at. It's actually using Hunter to your advantage, parking behind forests and charging through them. That's going to be the key. I think that you're going to see the players who want to sit there in the forest and be like, I'm defense 14, when really defense 14 isn't elite enough to warrant them just sitting in the forest and shooting out of it.
But just keep in mind, it's not just forests, it's clouds. They ignore the concealment from clouds and things like that. So it's not.
Doesn't Hunter ignore cover?
It does that as well. It ignores all the good stuff.
I mean, seriously, between Hunter and Blessed Weapons, what defensive buff do you still get? Elevation.
Stone.
The stone.
And in Malay. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And then look at, you know, this unit could be something that starts breathing a little more life back into the High Reclaimer.
Absolutely.
With your Porta Smoke, and you lay these guys in behind them, they can see through that.
They don't ignore the clouds. They still can't draw line of sight through a cloud. They just
I thought you said it ignored. I'm sorry.
They ignore the concealment bonus that clouds provide.
Uh-huh. But still, I still think that with the High Reclaimer, it's great because you can doesn't his smoke clouds give you minus 2 to attack rolls?
No.
Oh, they don't anymore? They used to.
I could be wrong.
I'll check real quick.
This is one instance where the fluff on these guys equal the rules, because they're all over the place in the story in the beginning of the book,
really?
And they are kicking ass.
I wrote a blog post about this when we first saw the UA. Goddamn plate mail ninjas, what?
Once you start adding it all up, though, I mean, if you get the unit, the UA, and a pair of stolas, it's 14 points. I mean, that's probably worth it.
It's
but
probably your big unit that you're taking. Buffs.
Yeah, I think that the debuffing is pretty big because it doesn't mess up your order of activation if you're bringing ranged units, which I think in Menoth has kind of plagued.
Here's something, though, you have to be careful of, and this is with the Reclaimer or the Reclaimers or the Testament, is you self-sacrifice, you don't get a soul.
Sure, but you can bring them back.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also bring them back behind forests.
Yep.
Which is kind of sweet.
So these guys are fantastic. I love them.
What if he had like Rate of Fire 2,
the solo
quick work assault?
Oh, that shoot, would be so awesome.
Charge, then shoot.
That would be a 4 point.
And invisibility.
He's only 2 points.
He could be 3 points and he could still be three points.
I don't think so.
Two of these guys.
Nope.
Two he's of these guys good. And the he's, full.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Errant.
Mm-hmm. Okay, wait. Let's talk about. We talked 14. About why the CUA is so good. Okay. Why is he so good? Is Hunter that good? Is Assault that good for him? I don't know. I don't think so.
It's that and Call to Sacrifice.
What it is he and the leader of the Errants being Rat 7 ignore everything snipers.
Sure. But, they're snipers, but I don't know. You're still not getting through. It doesn't matter. Like, if your defense 15, you still got to roll well to hit them. Like, if you're going against gun mages, mm-hmm. you're not a sniper. I mean, these aren't guys who can forfeit their movement and shoot out. Like, that's a sniper. I mean, with range 10, you're still not sniping things. Now, like I said, I think you're going to be able to harass the backfield really, really, really easily especially with him, with being speed 6, you're going even further, being able to shoot further. Well, actually, no, he doesn't have quick work, so you actually can't do that. But like the UA guy is even better at it because of a higher rat. But I don't know. I'm not crazy about the Seneschal as much as you guys apparently are. Because I think that you said Call of Sacrifice is strong, Tim. That's what they used to have. So it's like it's good. Yeah, you keep him alive, but he's no better than they are. He's still a POW 9.
That with everything else makes him good.
He's good.
I wouldn't run two. I'd run one.
Here's the reason Call of Sacrifice is good. Say you run like a Seneschal with regular air exemplar. They don't really do anything for him. You kill a Seneschal, he dies. The thing about him is he works just like a member of the unit, whereas if you kill him, you pull someone else instead. You keep the higher stats on the table.
Yeah, no, and it's strong. It's strong.
You could think of him like a weapon attachment if you want.
Sure, and then and like you said about the damage over your armor, it's irrelevant because, you know, he has 5 boxes. You kill that last box, well, you sack a guy, and then all that damage is wasted. If I hit you with Beast on 9, it's going to be irrelevant.
Right.
But it's good, but then where are you left? If he's in melee, he can only kill one person. So it's an interesting trade. I don't think trading troopers who maybe aren't in combat is.
I don't think he'll commit to melee as much as the Errants will. I could see him shooting and the Errants charging ahead of him or something like that.
That's fair.
All they have to do is stay in his command range to get the bonuses. Mm-hmm. And that's 9 inches, and they can only charge 8.
And he's not one of those solos where they need line of sight to him to get a buff or something like that. So he can stay a little bit behind.
And how big is it that these guys have Pathfinder?
That is huge.
Pathfinder's huge. I haven't heard it lately, but people used to say, "Oh, Pathfinder's useless now because everybody can charge." No, Pathfinder's still golden.
Especially you cannot charge over walls.
Yeah,
I got in a debate with somebody over when Saxon Orc was broken, and he's like,
right.
He's like, "Oh, AoEs take him out and all this other stuff," and how and I'm like, "Dude, you ignore all terrain essentially."
Yeah. So I mean, do you think that this is going to really open up your game for pathfinding? By investing, let's say 10 points, or sorry, 12 points between the solo and the thing, are you still going to want to bring like the Piper, for example, to give him tough?
It really depends on the army, but not necessarily because they're going to outdistance him.
Well, does he do it in his command range?
I guess I look at I wouldn't bring for the Piper for this unit.
He goes for TFG because then he gives him Heroic Call and they do Iron Zeal and they're tough, no knockdown.
Yeah,
sure. But I mean, these guys would be pretty damn annoying to kill.
They would.
I don't know. It's very interesting. I think it's a interesting mechanic.
I think the Vassal's the last model in here if you want to hit that.
Absolutely.
Praise the Lawbringer and pass the accumulator plugs.
That's his fluff.
Is that the quote?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One point.
I think that at armor 13, the 5 boxes is borderline irrelevant, but it's still only 1 point.
I think with Iron Sentinel, you're going to see it more useful than not. I've had Iron Sentinel mechanics die to blast damage. And I really just wish it made him immune to blast damage. That would make me really happy.
We'll put him on a vigilant, yeah.
Then you have two useless pair right there.
But I'm just saying, like, the 5 boxes are going to be a lot bigger.
It's not a useless pair because he's still good.
The 5 boxes are going to be a lot bigger than you can imagine because, like I said, I've had many mechanics take one or 2 points, but the 5 boxes, you have to get through all 5.
I think he's going to make the Templar and the Avatar even better than they are now.
Sure.
I'm a little bummed that we didn't get something a little closer to the Retributions Arcanist for 1 point.
I would have loved power. What's it called?
Power booster.
There you go.
You have a
power booster. You have amazing. The guy that's on the page next to him, the reclaimer who boosts your jacks. You do not get
power. Yeah, you do pretty much have power booster.
Arcanist does.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what? Arcanist is good, I've killed that guy way too many times. So many times against the Retribution, I'm like, God, everyone has stealth. Oh, you don't have stealth.
Yeah.
And then that's the guy that dies.
John, do you have a lot of retribution up there?
I'm sorry?
Do you have a lot of retribution players up there?
I am the sole retribution player in my meta, which is actually a lot of fun because then I can do all kinds of shenanigans. They're not used to them.
Right.
How many people, how strong is your meta? Like how many people?
We got about 10 or 12 people.
That's a decent size. Yeah.
We got like 4 or 5 Crix players.
Oh, that's also good.
No, it's not.
I wish there was more diversity. We've got a couple of Kador players. We've got a Troll Blood guy. So, you know, there's a couple Circles, a couple Signars.
I'm going to get rid of, so if somebody wants a good deal, let them know.
Yeah, if I wasn't staring at an entire shelf full of Protectorate, I might take you up on it. But
the Sin City Protectorate?
It is the Sin City Protectorate.
I have
one
thing I'd like to talk about in the book before we talk about John's list.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited to talk about John's list. I'm
Gravis's artwork. Why is his horse's armor yellow?
Gold.
Page 119.
That's color of his armor. That's
no, it's supposed to be the same color as his armor. It's Gravis, it's horse exemplar armor.
Gravis painted it that color.
It's dirty. There's a big cloud of dust.
He was going to the derby. He wanted to be fancy. Notice it came out a day before the derby.
Lemonade. Sweet lemonade.
No. That's not the time.
Because a white armor on a white horse would look kind of dull.
I think it's supposed to also represent dirt and grime.
I think that Dave is just being stupid.
Shut up, Dave.
All right, fine.
I'm excited for John's list because this is the tier list that I wanted to talk about.
Gravis is an old man who will kill you.
Going into this book,
and you do get nice. He does.
You do get nice tips in the back on how to paint Resnick's dick-looking sword. You notice you get the.
I actually think that the tactics on how to paint gold and silver are some of the best ones in here because metallics are hard to do.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
You learn how to paint fire.
So, John.
So me.
So you.
What is this list?
Let's talk about this list, and then you guys can tell me what's wrong with it.
We will.
Well, the first thing is you're playing the Protectorate. Oh, wait, no.
I chose to go with Hierarch Severius to discuss because, first off, I don't have the world's most extensive experience with the old boy, and it turned out to be one of the best paint jobs I've ever done. So I love putting him on the table. It's just that I don't always do so great with him. So here's my list. I start with Hierarch Severius, and then the obligatory.
I'm sorry, is this 35 or 50?
This is 35.
Okay.
I figured to stick with 35 because it seems like it's netting out that 35 is a very popular point total.
Now, additionally, before you say the list, what tier are we shooting for here?
This is going to turn out to be a tier 3, I believe. When I went with tier, if I went to 50 points, I probably could have pulled off tier 4.
Yeah.
And I would have rearranged some of these things. But with going with 35, with Epic Severius, I found it very difficult to get there.
And what's in his tier? What do we have to do and what do you get for it?
Okay, his tier is he gets, he's, I believe, the only caster that can bring 2 character jacks. He gets the Avatar and he gets the Blessing of Vengeance.
What a dick.
And the for units, he can bring Choirs, yay, Temple Flame Guard, yay, and Exemplar units.
Yay.
So he's bringing the whole kit and caboodle. It's a very non-restrictive tier.
He is the Hierarch.
He's the big dog. So he brings the Hierophant, Rax, Exemplar solos, Vassal solos, and this is a heartbreaker, the Covenant of Menoth.
Why don't you just say bring whatever you want in the entire book?
What are you missing,
book?
Vilmon?
Seriously.
I don't even know what he's missing.
Vilmon, Order of the Fist.
He can't bring Jovaya Rovin and the Honor Guard.
Exemplar unit.
Nope. 2 of the models have Exemplar status. The unit is not an Exemplar unit.
What?
That's right.
Yeah, why don't you read this book, Jason?
Continue.
Anyhow, so tier 1, the army can only include the models listed above as per normal. And my dog here is biting my other dog's face. That's really interesting.
Yes, get him.
That is a Protectorate fight.
Those are dogs.
Reduced. Yeah, I have 2 boxer dogs.
They should be punching each other.
That's my favorite breed.
Oh, they're wonderful. I love mine. One's name is Sunshine, and the other one's Zaza. They're dumb as a stump, but they sure are nice.
So they are Protectorate.
Yeah. So you get to have 5-point Crusaders and 7-point Templars for bringing basically anything in the Protectorate army.
That's an awesome tier one. You can play him at Mangled Metal.
Yeah,
get that.
I will say the Mangled Metal casters are ridiculous. Like Vlad, and at 25 points, you can get Vlad and 6 Berserkers. That's silly.
You know, all these kind of benefits and stuff that are so amazing, you're just going to laugh at my list because I've taken advantage of almost none of them. This army includes the Covenant of Menoth as your Tier 2 requirement. So right away, you know, you've got a 2-point solo you've added in. You're getting a +1 on your starting roll for the game.
Excellent.
That is a fair deal.
Yeah, it's a great deal.
So wait, you're going to bring the guy I was going to bring anyways, and then I'm going to get
me a bonus? Okay. Yeah.
Tier 3, the army includes 2 or more medium-based exemplar units. Now, this is where my list started to form the way that it did. I knew I kind of wanted to get to Tier 3 at least, so I knew I was probably bringing Bastions, Incinerators, and stuff like that. But that's also what cut me off from Tier 4 at 35 points, because if you're bringing 2 8-point units, you're starting to limit yourself as far as what you're going to be able to bring as far as jacks are concerned. And Tier 4, requiring 3 or more heavy jacks in his battle group, you know, if you want to bring the Blessing of Vengeance, you know, for the love of an arc node that, you know, boosts your attack strength, you know, boy, oh boy, it gets awfully hard to leave him at home. So here's my list based on all of that. I have the Hierarch Severius and the Blessing of Vengeance, and a Revenger. I found that if I don't bring 2 Arc Nodes, I have a lot of time, a really hard time keeping Epic Severius really useful for a long period of time.
Sometimes you have to commit an Arc Node, and it's going to die.
Yep. And if I bring a Guardian into the picture to start to fulfill my requirement for Heavy Jacks, that's 3 points. And when you're talking about a 35-point list, 3 points is actually quite a lot to give up for that ability. Now, I picked a unit of Bastions and a unit of Cinerators for my 2 medium base to get me up to level 3.
Is that min or max?
Those are both max. My problem that I have with bringing minimum units is on the Bastions, they just seem to crumple too fast when you take away those 16 boxes.
Yeah.
And I don't have any experience with the Cinerators, but I knew I wanted to run them somewhat spaced out so that I can enhance their ability to survive as a unit. And since I have 5 of these Cinerators, I said, hey, I might as well play them.
I think that both those units – sorry to interrupt. I definitely think that both those units are not good in their min form, in my opinion. I mean, you still get their power, but you – both of them, their ability.
You almost have to throw a Cinerator away to get their speed buff.
Possibly.
You know, because if you want to throw one up front, and if you do that with a 3-man, you're throwing away a third.
It depends
on
who you're using, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, I completely agree, and that's one of the reasons why I go max on them. And you don't have Defender's Ward with Epic Severius, and as a result, they can be a little on the fragile side. The Temple Flame Guard, I've got 10 of those, and the Officer and Standard Bearer, because pretty much that unit's almost an auto-include for me. I like to have a wave type of a mentality with my armies, and I like to use that TFG for a tar pit, and they do a great job of it. Plus, they're a lot speedier than my medium-based, so I can get them up into the face of the opponent and hold them off until my slower units can come up from behind. Then I've got the Covenant of Menoth, and I have a Vassal of Menoth. Okay, so what's missing from this list?
The Avatar.
The Avatar's not in the list.
Oh, of the Tier 1 bonuses.
And there's no Crusader or Templar.
I think the Avatar is not as big of a deal as missing your 5-point Crusader.
Yeah. You know, you could argue very quickly that, you know, having 2 Crusaders in there at 5 points. At 5 points each, the discussion we had earlier around who do you bring, you know, 2 Crusaders or the Avatar, it really tips in the direction of the Crusader at 5 points.
Absolutely, because, yeah, it's not the same price.
Yeah.
You could trade out both medium-based exemplar units for a Crusader and Avatar. It becomes... No, that's not... No.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
16.
11 and 16.
16 points. But, man, advanced move on those Bastions Incinerators is actually a big deal for them.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is. And they get them up in the face, especially if you're playing a scenario game. And so much of Steamroller 2010 is mosh pit this, mosh pit that. And getting those guys up there, who are pretty durable, is a real advantage. I'll be honest with you guys, though. I'm loving my retribution when it comes to scenario play. But yeah, that's not what we're talking about here.
Absolutely not.
They have some they have some nice tricks.
Yeah, they do.
Still died of venoms.
Tricks are for kittens.
Anyhow, so that's kind of my list. How do I envision running them? You know, I've got the blessing on one side. I've got the revenger on the other side. My bastions are going to be probably sitting the furthest back of the units. The Temple Flame Guard getting out in front as much as possible. The only problem is if I do get up to having that advanced move, which I get on tier 3, it's gonna screw up having the TFG in front. So, you know, probably gonna have to go with the incinerators out front, then the bastions, and then the TFG, which I guess isn't a bad way to go either, because then you've got a whole bunch of bodies in front of the hierarch.
Well, you could trade the TFG out for heavies as well if you really wanted to.
Yep, there is that. You know, then you've got, you know, there's 8 points there. That's a Crusader and something.
Another Vassal and maybe a Reclaimer. Not, I can't use Reclaimers.
It doesn't seem like there's enough souls that die quickly enough to make a Reclaimer work terribly well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I definitely agree.
You know, you could almost just throw in a Seneschal, an Errant Seneschal.
Or a regular Seneschal.
Or a regular Seneschal.
Yeah, that's true.
Are
too.
They both available to his tier?
Yeah, he gets exemplar solos.
Yep.
Yeah, I love that regular Seneschal. He's an ass.
Smite's just awesome.
Cool. So that's my list. I probably will bring this list with me to the Invitational and see how it does.
So is your plan with this to basically mire the entire table and try and get an arc node to the opponent?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely, and then fall back on both the Rain of Fire as well as dishing out some Hex Blasts through the Arc Nodes.
Thank God he doesn't have a 2-cost damage spell. That'd be ridiculous.
He does have influence. So good.
But it's not going to always win you a game.
The other thing that's beautiful is, you know, you bond the Revenger with him, so the Revenger starts getting stupid hard to take out of play. And if you park a Vassal, or if you bring in, you ditch like the TFG and get a second Vassal, then you've got your 2 Arc Nodes are going to be in really good shape. I'm dishing out the influence to turn their army against themselves. And I've just had so much fun with his feet taking over, you know, living models and then just either turning them around and doing something evil to the caster or just running them as far out of position as I possibly can to completely destroy his next turn.
It is living grunt models, so you can only take...
Yeah, no more. I used to love to use it in Mark 1 to steal mini feats. Mm-hmm. I take over your standard bearer of your IFP, and he mini feats.
Is he not a grunt?
No. Grunts are non-leaders of the base unit.
Okay. Yeah, because that was amazing to do in Mark 1, to take mini feats, or just take one shots, you know, anything that you could do this one.
I took over the underboss of the Chaozzi, and had him mini feat on himself, charge through his own former Chaozzi buddies, and stab a Manhunter in the back of the head.
There you go.
Awesome.
Doesn't work anymore.
It doesn't, but I know his feat is kind of lackluster. It's kind of disappointing, to be honest.
It could be better. I actually wish he had Chasen. I think if he had Chasen,
Chasen?
It is basically immolation with... minus the crit fire plus remove upkeeps on hit or on damage.
That's pretty good. He does have Fear of God, which is a stupid strong spell.
Yeah.
I love that spell.
It's a upkeepable rebuke, right?
No, it's not necessarily a rebuke because rebuke says... Doesn't see
no.
charge?
Yeah, I think they're the same thing, except rebuke is not...
Give or receive orders or make special attacks.
Okay.
You could Fear of God, Bile Thralls.
You could Fear of God, Winter Guard.
You could Fear of God, Winter Guard.
Well, then it is upkeep, you said, right?
Yes.
Edmoni just says it goes away.
That's true. Yeah.
Is that a special attack?
Yeah. It says they gain the special attack. Yep, sprays are special attack from Winter Guard.
So there you go.
That was the big thing that everybody complained about when they released the Hierarch's card at the end, was actually all the Protectorate's cards, all of the rebukes went away, and Fear of God came, except for Stryker, for some reason, got to keep it.
Yeah. Well, he's only six focus.
And his one meat game.
And he forced him to bring an up.
Stryker's Matt Wilson's boy. So, yeah,
no,
he kept
it. No. It was ridiculous on 8 and 10 focus casters.
That's what it comes down to.
You don't even need a boost. With Stryker, you probably need a boost. It's like probably it becomes a really expensive
spell.
Okay,
let me ask you then. If it's so expensive that he can only cast it once, why is he not getting Fear of God?
What? Yep. Because it's an upkeep.
Yeah, and isn't that a benefit for a lower focus caster to not have to pay an extra focus per turn?
Because if he wants to do it to Jax, he can.
What?
Whatever.
If he wants to make him so they can't trample or
Striker apologist over here.
Hey, I have an epic Striker doll, and I carry him around.
Oh, that's right.
I have a doll that beats your epic Striker doll.
What you doing your own time, your own business?
John, have you seen the old epic Striker action figure?
Yes.
You know, like the rubber, like pants type flap thing around
the
his
skirt.
Waist,
the skirt. The cloak, yep. Or whatever.
Jason puts that on his Earthborn.
That's lovely.
And it runs around the table.
It looks like he's ready to draw his gun.
It does. It looks awesome. He was amazing at War Machine Weekend too, so it was even better.
So, I think Epic Severus is probably one of our underrated warcasters.
I think he's more subtle than he used to be.
He definitely is. I think that John's list is definitely playing him on kind of a knife's edge because there's not a lot of beat stick. I mean, there are bastions, but their lack of speed is going to kind of hem them in. They're not warjacks. You can't buy extra attacks with bastions. You can't acquire bastions up to POW 20.
Yeah. I think that awareness is a spell that you definitely can't take advantage of either in your list, and it's such a strong spell.
Yep.
I know we had a guy here in St. Louis who was doing double Reckoner awareness tricks.
You can awareness to look through line to influence someone in the back.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is true.
So
if you end up with somebody penetrating, then you can do that.
There is that, but yeah, like he doesn't have the Reckoners.
It's a 4 focus influence.
It is.
And then, well, I guess the more you cast influence, the less it costs. After reading him, I don't think we're going to see him at Hardcore Daikon, but it's made me a lot happier about my list construction that I've been working on. And even though I know I won't see him, but if I did see him, I'd be a lot happier. Because I took out a Dracoon and the Great Bears. And it just would be like,
he can't affect him anyway.
Well, with influence, you can.
In influence, you can.
So.
Oh, it's not non-character anymore.
Yeah.
It's
not a warlock nor a warcaster thing.
Yeah, never mind.
So that's strong.
I'm thinking his feet.
Yeah, his feet. Yeah,
I'm thinking his feet. That was what I was thinking of.
They're grunts. The two great bears are grunts.
I think his feet is non-character.
No, didn't say so. Just living enemy grunts.
It's not non-character.
He's the Yarvich is the
officer in Kolskin, whatever the other guy's name is.
No.
Who cares? Two of them are not. And one of them is. And you can take control of them and beat the crap out of someone. So that's sweet.
Oh, I wreck your own JX.
You take control of both of them. One of them backswings.
Speaking of the Invitational, are you guys friends with Matt Wilson on Facebook?
Yes.
Did you see his twit pic of all the stuff he's painting?
Signar that he painted last night?
Yeah. Did you see how far he got? That was nuts.
There was
it's not based, but it's all he's got it all in the thing. It's all blue and gold and shiny.
He must be airbrushing.
Is he doing it for the Invitational?
For the Invitational, it's the thin blue line. It's 100. It's one caster, so it's going to be Siege and like all Trenchers, and it's 100 points, and you have to try to break through.
I think he had 2 Trencher guns.
And he had like 4 cannons, 2 or 3 Trencher chain guns.
Yeah, it looked
commandos,
awesome.
Commandos, some scatter gunners.
Take Vindictus.
Finn. You got to have Finn.
Gotta. Take Vindictus.
Some Grenadiers.
Oh my god, Vindictus would be absolutely terrifying. Or you can just take Fiora and light everything on fire. Bam. So anyways.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Boom goes the dynamite. So, I mean, it seems like the list, while the construction that he can gain is very powerful, it's got to be played at 50 points or even, 75 if you're playing one cast
at
75.
Or Mangled Metal. You got to admit, throwing him out there with cheap-ass
Crusaders
is viable.
Yep. I'd say even with cheap ass Templars, because I think that once again, the beatback, like you just toss one Templar in there with 8 focus, you're pretty good to go as far as being able to get, things done.
Unfortunately, a lot of his spells and feet are going to be worthless.
Yes, absolutely. You can try to arc POW 10. Yeah, never mind.
You can Fear of God Jax.
You can fear and God beasts. Ajak.
Or beasts.
Ajak so, or beasts.
Do we happen to have, go back to the Great Bears, I'm looking at the book, the two characters may not be grunts, because it says the number of grunts in a unit are noted on the unit's card.
Oh.
So you know how it says one leader and X grunts? If okay. it's not listed that way, they are not grunts.
Okay.
Say, how do you fear God? What is fear of God doing to a jack? Because
no special attacks, so you can't attacks. Slam.
No rain death from a devastator.
No threshers.
No power attacks at all?
Yeah, no power attacks at all.
Okay, so charging's out of the question then, isn't it? Because isn't that a power attack?
No, it's not. Charging is a regular. It's not.
It's one of your forms of movement.
Isn't it a good thing I'm a press ganger?
But it is still powerful for throws and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I had a Jax light go out for the first time the other day. It's pretty disappointing.
They toss it in water?
Yeah. It's really disappointing.
We need to play with more water.
I love water.
I do too. My Earthborn
says the guy with crab jacks.
And who plays circle with shitloads of two-handed throws every
day. Says the guy who has an Earthborn.
I was playing Retribution the other day, and I slammed the Death Jack into water, and that made my whole weekend.
Yeah, that's like, God, that's got to be
I was playing a Mark I faux hardcore event, and I was playing against a Protector player who had like three heavy jacks and ran kind of near a pond. I had Typhon. Guess what happened?
You threw three of them into the...
Three in the water.
He killed Typhon next turn with a bunch of Weapon Master Knight's Exemplar, but I didn't care because his jacks were off the table.
Not only do I want water, I want deep water on the table once in a while. I understand most people, if they have water, want it to be shallow water.
Amphibious.
Well, not even that. To remove jacks from play.
You can remove beasts from play. Can you?
What is no. No. They just take a point of damage.
Deep water probably, but not in shallow water.
So. What happens when you're in deep water?
You drown.
If you're a warrior, you take damage every round. If you're a jack, you're removed from play. I can't remember what happens to beasts.
Who plays hordes
play
anyway?
In the ocean.
We'll find out what happens when the hordes book comes out.
I suppose so.
There you go.
Awesome.
So.
So what's the over under? Do you think with that actually happening in July?
I think they're going to do whatever they can to keep their promise of one book a month.
I think you're going to see the rule book early in the month and the decks late in the month, like we did with Mark II.
God,
War
that
Machine.
Made me so angry. If that's the case again, I will be continuously.
I actually wouldn't be surprised if that was like the week before Gen Con that we get the.
Well, we know
the Crypts
book's coming earlier than we suspected. It's coming in 19 or
the 19th of May.
Well, yeah, until they announce three delays, sure.
I don't think this one's going to be delayed.
I think
with this one being delayed, they prepared for the other ones to be.
I believe that the book printer and the card printers may be different, and while they may have had the Prime Mark II book first, it's very possible that with their books being pushed back, that the cards can line up with the book.
Yeah, but if they don't come out on the same day, you really can't have the decks come out first because you have to have the main rules.
Right, true. Right. Oh no, they wouldn't release them before, but they could release them the same day.
It's a lot of money to be dropping. People. Although, aren't the minion cards in the faction decks
yes,
right now?
There is no
All I can say this is, they better not have the cards in the books at Gen Con if they haven't been at the stores already.
Yeah, I agree, because I can't say I'd know what I would do.
There is no minion
I
want to
support the LGS, but...
No, God, the minion cards will be in your faction decks, the ones that work for your faction.
So trolls get the biggest deck of all
probably.
Time.
Followed by Circle.
How many decks are you going to be buying, John?
Oh, hell. I'll be buying two. I'll be buying the Circle, and I'll be buying Trollbloods.
I'll be buying Trolls and Scorn.
I'll be buying Trolls.
Just Circle.
I've got this little tiny troll army I bought from a guy that was getting out of the Horde side, and he had his Kador army, and that's where he was going to focus. So I've got a very small army with a couple of beasts, some Fen Blades, and some champs, and I looked at it and I went, what else do I really need?
All right.
Fen Blades. You always need Fen Blades.
Oh, I got the Fen Blades. They're good.
Two units.
No, you don't need Fen Blades. You need the Fel Blades. Oh my God! Did you play against those in Nightfall?
Absolutely crushed my Harbinger list.
Oh my God, they're so evil,
dude. Oh my God, I played AK the other day, and I was like set up to totally just win, and my charge from my Kazi Assassins failed the Abomination check, and I was like,
I told him, I said, you're gonna charge and fail that, you know? And he's like, no, I'm not. I'm like.
I will, however, also accept keeping the Nephilim all time, by the way.
He's pretty sweet. He's got Lamentation
Animus.
That makes sense. Animus, right?
Lamentation sometimes is worse than not being able to cast a spell at all.
Yeah.
It's like, you expensive.
Because you can still do it.
The guy that was playing the Fel Blades also was playing Epic Madrak.
Yeah.
Was he playing 20 Fel Blades? Because that's what my guy did.
He only had 10.
Yeah, AK played 20 of them with Epic Madrak, and it was hideous.
It was just wrong. I mean, it's like I looked at it and I went, huh, guess I need to get me some Fen Blades. Not so that the regular Fen Blades are as cool as the Fel Blades, but yeah. Oh well.
They are.
How often did you play your Funeral Castigator?
Zero.
So I thought.
God, zero. That was the worst Jack ever.
You take away combustion, and it's like, okay, why am I spending all this money? You know, why am I throwing these points away?
Who plays Castigator in the first place?
I don't even remember what the damn thing did.
If you hit it, you get set on fire.
It's like a troll.
Yeah.
I'd rather have it walk up, combust, and turn everything around it within 2 inches on fire. Thank you very much.
The Avatar.
Allegedly, at the Invitational, there are going to be season models for all the factions that are, you know, all the factions they have. So it'll be interesting to see what those turn out to be.
Cool.
You mean the new stats or the physical models?
Oh, they are going.
Well, the Invitational this year is going to be Shattered Grounds. And they're doing like a one-day version or a 1.5-day version of Shattered Grounds.
Cool.
And they're going to have special season models just for that event.
So, given Matt Wilson's army for Thin Blue Line, the trenchers are going to be replaced with Uber trenchers?
Yeah.
They all have anatomical precision.
And the
regular ones have it on their guns.
They all have 5 boxes.
They all snipe.
Yeah, and 5 boxes.
They're all going to get the unicorn stats.
Oh God!
Oh, yeah, that was an awesome model.
That was fantastic.
That's what he should be playing in the Thin Blue Line. It should be like his second Warcaster.
How funny would that be?
That'd be excellent.
Just base up a My Little Pony on a large base.
Convert a Dracoon. Just like shit.
Yeah.
Just get Scarathison. He's riding a unicorn.
Yeah. He is.
I got more green stuff on that model than I can shake a stick.
Look at my unicorn. My unicorn's amazing. That didn't work.
No, it did not.
So we got anything else to say?
I'm done. My dogs are seriously not happy with me right now.
Are they faceless now? Did they chew off the faces?
No, they left the faces on, unfortunately.
Excellent, excellent.
Well, John, thanks for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
I really appreciate it. It was nice to get on and talk to you guys again. I've been listening to you guys since day one. I'm sorry. Next to Lost Hemisphere Radio, I think you're the best podcast out there.
I was actually going to ask you to pimp it again, but after that, I'm not.
Lost Hemisphere Radio, for those of you who want to hear an Australian and a guy from Utah talk about Sister Wives and War Machine and maple syrup.
Wow. That's awesome.
Wow. I got to listen now. Yeah, everyone listen to it.
I have a couple of Sister Wives.
Yeah, my wives approve of that broadcast.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, you know what it's right, like? After you know, that, yeah, then so now you're going to be getting hate mail from all the LDS that listen. Good luck with all that.
That's right.
You can send those emails to MinothJohn at whatever his email is, .com.
Yeah. Yeah, see, that I'm keeping that part secret.
All right. Well, thanks once again for being on.
Yeah, thanks a lot, John.
Thanks a lot.
Fantastic.
We finally got that Minoth book. How about
awesome.
That?
Yay.
Now, you know, I read the fluff. I didn't even start reading the miles. I'm like, I need the Kirk's book now.
It's just a couple weeks away.
Overall, you guys have joked about my negativity. I'm still not thrilled with the Incinerators or the Vigilant. Mm-hmm. Vindictus is playable. I love the Errant stuff. The mechanic, I'm sure I'll feel them here now and then.
If it makes you feel any better, the Corruptor and Venothrax kind of suck.
So, I mean, well, you know, every book has stuff that's not up to par, but
if it makes you feel like any better,
really,
I'm going to devastate.
I haven't seen that in the Signar book yet.
I was going to say, if it's going to make you feel any better, I'm going to devastate you with the Bombardiers.
Bombardiers okay. Probably aren't going to be out until Gen Con.
Probably not.
Yeah.
We'll see you guys next week.
See ya.
Bye.
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 To contact Iron Agenda by email, send your message to contact@ironagenda.com. To send a voicemail, dial 206-333-0983. Iron Agenda is copyright 2010 by its hosts and released under the Creative Commons Attribution No Derivative Works 3.0 United States license. Opening and closing music provided by Joshua Salter. Iron Agenda is affiliated with Spooky Outhouse Productions. For more podcasts, visit www.spookyouthouse.com.